much about.
You gotta put it in perspective. Holy look at this thing. Oh my god, what the is that, bro? Jay, what the is that? Oh man, pull back up, Jay. Come on. Come on, bro. Pull back up, bro. We're seeing some shit we ain't never seen before, kid.
Well, that doesn't seem to be working, does it?
No.
What's that? What the heck's going on there? Big intro. Cutting out on us.
Well, we were hearing about...
The fish.
Jay and the fish.
I know. But were you experiencing it dipping? Were you losing audio?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was all good here.
So you're telling me it's just on my end?
Yeah.
I stopped it for nothing?
Yeah.
Want a second pass at it?
Well, you can understand there's no way for me to tell what you hear, if it's any different from what I hear. But I just, I had it like cutting out like, you know, bad.
No, I think it's going well.
This is a good start to Friday. How's everything?
You gotta put it in perspective.
Holy look at this thing. Oh my god, what the is that, bro? Jay, what the is that? Oh man, pull back up, Jay. Come on. Come on, bro, pull back up, bro. We're seeing some shit we ain't never seen before, kid.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Sound is all around us, everywhere. It beats at our eardrums until much of the time we're hardly conscious of it.
Sometimes when I'm falling asleep, I'm really into beats and like music. Right when I hit REM sleep, which is like right the time, I start getting these crazy beats in my head, and I gotta tell myself, oh, I gotta wake up and kind of like and mouth the beat to remind myself, hey, I did this, I came up with it.
My only advice for you is to get a grip.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's all fun and games till they shoot you in the face.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Get a divorce, not a gun.
Roll another one.
What's happening to your nipples?
Just like the other one.
You're crazy. Send me pictures.
This one seems to be about to quit.
If you're white, you don't belong here tonight.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Roll another one.
Hey, these are not funny.
Just like the other one.
Happy New Year.
This one seems to be about to end.
Perfect. It was perfect. Not too long, not too short. Right on the money. Just like we rehearsed it.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Just pass it around.
If you need help, call the FBI.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend. I just pass it on down.
And now,
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. It's Rodney on the Rock here. Don't forget, I'm here every Sunday, Monday morning, right after Loveline, honking the hits.
Our feature presentation.
Honking the hits, indeed. That's what we're all about here.
Hall of Fame.
This could be a very difficult show. I know you, Chip, I know you mock because you think I'm just bad, but I can't hear.
Oh, that's not good at all.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm getting about half the audio that I'm playing, so I'm just kind of guessing at things. But we'll work it out. We'll make it through. Welcome everybody to a Friday morning, the 25th of September. How are you, Alan McKay?
I was doing great until you cut off that kid from Massachusetts telling me about the baby whale.
I know you wanted to hear all 7 minutes of that.
I assume you just were so sick of hearing his voice that you just cut it out. You were like, I can't. That's what I thought happened.
No, it was studio problems. I don't have an engineer, so when things go wrong, they go wrong and they stay wrong.
Yeah.
I can't get anyone to come out to the island and help me. So I'm kind of on my own. I'm like the, and in some ways, I'm like the Martian. I'm just, I'm by myself on a planet, just trying to get anyone from Earth to come help me.
Yep.
So, we do have a good program today. We'll tell you all about, but first, I often talk about how I'm going to be the coolest old guy in the world, and I'm in no rush to get old, but I am going to be one of those 80-year-old, 90-year-olds, 100-year-olds. I hope, knock on wood, that people are going to be amazed at how hip and happening I am.
So you're going to turn cool at some point.
I'm already cool.
Oh, I apologize.
But the older I get, the cooler I'm going to be, and certainly the cooler I'm going to seem.
Okay.
Because, you know, so many old people, they disengage from life. They don't pay attention anymore. They're not interested in the kids and what the kids are doing and what the kids are listening to and where the kids go. But I'm interested in all of those things. I don't want to do any of those things, but I like to know about them. So what I'm saying is I'm going to be the 100-year-old that 15-year-olds are going to go, wow, how does he know all the cool stuff?
Why?
Nope.
Yeah,
why would you say that?
Because you know what? I don't want to talk to a 90-year-old man about Taylor Swift or about a fun thing that's trending. I don't want to. I want you to be cute. I want you to be sitting in a recliner, and I want you to tell me about the good old days.
I think there's time for that, but I also think it would be refreshing and surprising to have somebody who stays current as an old man.
Surprising for sure.
I don't plan to be one of those old guys who checks out at a certain point and all of a sudden doesn't know about anything that happened since, you know, 1980. I don't plan to be that guy.
That's what I look forward to.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Looking forward to not having to keep up.
Oh, not having to keep up with anything. Just me and Jeopardy.
What's Facebook? That's what you're looking forward to.
Me and my shows.
Yep. You and your stories.
Yep.
I will not be like Don Pellman, who is in the news this week, who is also 100 years old. He has just set world records for his age group, the 100-plus age group, in 5 different sports.
Wow.
He's 100 years old. He has always been athletic. He was a gymnast and a high jumper until the Great Depression happened, and that cut his athletic career short. And then he put his athletic dreams aside for a number of years and worked and took care of his family, but he retired back in the 1970s, and he went back into exercising and training for meets, and his hard work paid off. He recently competed in the San Diego Senior Olympics. He broke 5 world records in his age group. He broke the record in the long jump, the high jump, the 100-meter dash, the shot put, and the discus events.
Whoa.
Now, a 100-year-old in a high jump and in a long jump, you would anticipate that would be super dangerous. Like, aren't old people supposed to not do stuff like that because you break a bone, that's pretty much it for you. You're not going to recover, right?
Yeah, your hips are not going to want to jump into a pit of sand.
He told the San Diego Times that he was confident he would be able to break the 100-meter record, explaining that he'd been practicing the run on the streets back home at least once a week. He said, I had done it in 26 seconds, so I should be able to break the world record. And on that day in the stadium, he came in at just under 27 seconds, 26.99, which is, again, a world record for 100-plus. And this is on a day, by the way, where temperatures were in the mid-90s.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's 100 years old out there running this race and competing in all these events. So for people who find it difficult to get motivated to exercise on hot days, I would like you to keep Mr. Don Pellman in mind. He spent his time between competitions relaxing in a lawn chair, wearing a T-shirt that read, Donald Pellman, established 1915, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh.
So there you go. So congratulations, Mr. Pellman. I will not be that kind of cool. I will not be athletic cool. But hopefully I'll have something else to offer when I get to Mr. Pellman's age. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Beach Show, shall we?
Everyone in the office is noticing your nipples today.
Okay, thank you for that. We really do have a guest-a-rama going on today. Lots of our favorite people on the program, including the return of R.J. Bell with his NFL picks. If I recall correctly, he is batting 100% right now.
100%.
He is at 6-0 with his picks. And a lot of our listeners...
Oh, sorry. Yes. I love that the listeners are mentioning it, and he keeps saying to them, well, just to be clear, this probably won't stick.
Right.
He's trying to warn people, but nope, they're not listening.
People are making money off of RJ Bell, though. Actress Stephanie Beatrice is going to be in studio with us. She, of course, plays Rosa on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She is also Sophia Vergara's sister on Modern Family. So Stephanie's going to be stopping by today. Isaac Caldiero will be here. He is the American Ninja Warrior. Perhaps you saw him on TV last week winning $1 million competing that course. It's unbelievable what he's able to do. He's a little spider monkey, isn't he?
He really is.
It's incredible that he could do that. Our friend Steve-O on the program today. He's got some stand-up this weekend in Irvine. We haven't caught up with him since his latest arrest. And actress Kristen Schaal will be here. The Last Man on Earth returns on Fox this weekend. That's coming up. Also, What's Up with Florida? And it's Friday. That means Ralph's got the movie beat plus the showbiz beat right after this on K-Rock. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ on a Friday morning. Not just a Friday morning. That's not the kind of language. You can't say that, Ralph. Use the F-word on the air, Ralph.
Just said it.
Three quarters Christmas.
Meant it, here to represent it.
When you came in, Allie and I were discussing, she's got her pre-Christmas tree up already. We were discussing when she could put up the real tree. Now, you historically wait till Halloween, Allie?
Right after Halloween. 1st of November, that bad boy goes up.
I hope both of you are in a fiery crash.
Oh, well, that doesn't seem like a nice thing to say on three-quarters Christmas.
Because there's no such thing as three-quarters Christmas. That's why.
Well,
it doesn't
I beg
really
to differ.
Matter.
If you look at the calendar right now, it's September 25th.
It's not a thing. Turn that music off!
I'm so tempted to cut their mics right now.
Please do. And turn Bean off from the island, too, wherever he is. Just turn it all off.
All right. Scrooge.
Glad we can't hear him anymore.
What's going on with you?
All right, let's talk about show business news. This is some real news. Not about some BS three-quarters Christmas. Happened this morning. Boom. We woke up. Got a new James Bond theme. Oh, it's so sweet. Cannot wait for Spectre. The new James Bond film. Oh, it's so exciting. Or as Dave the King Max calls it, Spectra. Are you going to see Spectra? The new Spectra song is out.
He's not good with vowels.
He's never seen a James Bond movie. And also this one, too, over here. This one hasn't.
There's no excuse for that.
Sam Smith sings Writings on the Walls, the new theme for the film Spectre, written by the same folks who scooped up the Grammy Award for Song of the Year with his Stay With Me. Sam Smith and Jimmy Napes combined for this song. Some are calling it elegant, some are calling it very British, which is only appropriate for 007. Here, if you haven't heard, is a little taste of the new James Bond theme song from the film Spectre, Writings on the Wall.
Could you I wanna feel love run through my blood. Tell me, is this where I give it all up for you? I have to risk it all, 'cause the writing's on the wall.
Very Bondy.
Very Bondy. You can just see naked girls in silhouette dancing slowly to that song. And that girl he's got singing with him is awesome, by the way. Her voice is amazing.
That's Sam
she
Smith.
Is terrific. I don't have a credit here about her name, but I'm looking forward to finding out where she is and who she is.
Beautiful voice.
She's got a lovely
voice.
Actually,
that very
girl,
talented man.
The girl he's working with.
Sam
His voice
Smith.
Is unreal.
I could do
Nailed
that.
It.
Anybody could do that. We had Ben McKenzie in on the show this week from Gotham.
Yeah.
James Gordon. Great guy. Nice man.
Love him.
Could he use a little extra info? Could he use the scoop? Could he use a little exclusive? Could he use a little information? Would have been nice. How about hooking a brother up, Ben? Turns out while he was here, he was very aware of the fact that his co-star of Gotham, Morena Baccarin, the lovely and talented, is expecting a child.
Oh, good for her.
And it's Ben's kid.
What?
Yeah.
He put a baby in her?
Apparently all this information came to light because she is currently in a contentious divorce proceeding with her estranged husband, Austin Chick. And she had to tell the court that she could not fly from her home in New York to Los Angeles to participate in the court proceedings as things move forward because she is with child.
Wow. She's that far along?
Well, no. She's at the end of her first trimester, say reports, but... they expect these proceedings to go on for months, And as they get into the future dates where she won't be able to fly, she wanted already the court to know the situation so there wouldn't be any expectation for her to show up in court to deal with any of this stuff. So.
Well, she's had a rough romantic ride then because she's getting a divorce now. And then, of course, her husband before that, Sergeant Brody, remember he got kidnapped by the people who killed him.
I'm glad we can't hear him anymore.
Hey,
Johnny Depp is a big-time movie star. Good man. Nice guy. But when you've got a new girlfriend slash wife slash lady, even the biggest of them have to deal with, you know, female stuff. Like Amber Heard, Johnny's new lady. Apparently not a big fan of the fact that he bought his 156-foot yacht for his former love, Vanessa Paradis. And says, why don't you get rid of that? Because it reminds me of her and your relationship. So Johnny just sold off his yacht. Hmm. You know how it is when your new girlfriend doesn't like your old yacht? Because she keeps thinking of you and the other woman on that
all
yacht.
All the time.
So sometimes you got to unload your yacht.
Does it say how much you got for
it? It does not say here,
because doesn't Johnny Depp strike you as the kind of guy who did not skimp on that yacht?
Yeah. He didn't get one of those low-rent 156-foot yachts, Bean. I think he really got one of the nice ones.
That's what I'm saying.
He didn't go down to the 99-cent store to pick up his 156-foot yacht. It was probably really nice.
Maybe.
Because he's Johnny Depp and all. Speaking of Depp, his lovely and talented daughter, Lily Rose, she is just on the fast track to stardom. Not only is she the face of Chanel, but she's just joined the cast of a movie called The Dancer, where she will play famed ballet star Isadora Duncan. The movie's actually about the life of American dancer Loie Fuller, who grew up in poverty in San Francisco but became a famous dance prodigy. You know, she pioneered the serpentine dance. You know that, right?
No. Sure.
Whatever that is.
Oh, Philistines.
Sorry. Not my area.
What's the serpentine dance?
You know. That. What I just did.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Donald.
Hey, Ralph. Hey, come back.
He's
hey, dude.
Leaving.
Hey, come on. Celebrity birthdays for today, the 25th of September, three quarters Christmas. Ralph,
he's
come
gone.
On.
He left, Bean.
He just is not in the room anymore.
Oh.
And that's the Ralph Chauvin's Beat here on K-Rock.
Whole more kids on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ and the Kevin and Bean Show. The song is called First.
We got to get those guys in the Red Bull sound space like everybody else lately. Yesterday, Def Cab for Cutie stopped by. I saw a little bit of that performance. They were great. You see any of that, Allie?
I did. I watched it, and a bunch of people were posting, so I was following along with the hashtag. And did you see the pitch that the guy threw to Stryker?
Ben Gibbard, who is a huge baseball fan.
Wow.
I don't know how this happened. I didn't hear the conversation, but he did a first pitch in the Red Bull sound space and just threw a strike at Stryker yesterday. And Stryker was so nervous that he was going to miss that. But it was very cool. And then they went on and performed. And you can see that. The replay of the Red Bull sound space performance by Death Cab for Cutie runs until 1 o'clock today. So you can go to krock.com at any time and watch it for free. And you should. All right. It's Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the movie beat coming up next. But first, I got a question for you guys. What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people of Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you? Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
Florida is the craziest state in the union. They call themselves the Sunshine State, but they're really the crazy state because the vast majority of bizarre stories that I read in the news somehow end up coming out of Florida. And I hate to disappoint people, but we just can't talk about the guy who disemboweled his girlfriend.
It's too
dark and too awful. We're just having fun here. Here's the kind of story that I love from Florida. Here's a woman who is named Nicole DeKima, 47 years old. She's on probation because of a previous conviction for carrying a concealed firearm without a permit. However, police were contacted by her neighbors who said, hey, she knifed my screen window. So the police went over there to arrest her on a probation violation because, you know, you can't get in any trouble when you're on probation. She not only, after the officers knocked on a door, she not only lunged at one of the officers with a sword, police found out that her mobile home was booby-trapped with over 3,700 swords, knives, and other bladed weapons.
Whoa.
I want you to picture that for a moment.
3,714 swords, knives, and other bladed weapons booby-trapped inside a mobile home. How is there room even for her to walk around?
Whoa.
Look, you understand she's trying to set up some sort of a system where the police come in and somebody gets hurt. But how do you make dinner in a place with over 3,700 knives? Authorities discovered the macabre scene Tuesday evening when they arrived to arrest her on that probation violation. She had blades hanging from the ceiling and from the walls of her mobile home in Brookville, about 50 miles north of Tampa. It took the deputies 5 hours to subdue the woman and arrest her. Several investigators suffered minor injuries removing the blades from the home. They also discovered booby traps, fake skeletons, rubber Halloween-style masks, and fake severed limbs throughout the residence.
She's nuts.
She is nuts. It does sound like she could have hung on for a few more weeks and just opened up her own haunted house. Probably would have had a pretty successful life there, right? Anyway, that's Florida in a nutshell right there. Police say they've arrested a man several days after a complaint that someone was spotted crawling along library tables and smelling women's feet at a Florida International University school.
Yep,
Miami-Dade police say 52-year-old Eddie Juan was arrested Tuesday, charged with violation of sexual offender registration, fleeing and eluding, reckless driving, aggravated assault, and resisting without violence. Now, if you have questions about the reckless driving, here's what happened. He was spotted on a scooter around campus. Somebody recognized him as the man who had been sniffing feet in the library. Officers attempted a traffic stop, but the man fled on a scooter, eventually crashed, and was arrested. That would be the weirdest thing. Look, I know women have to endure many indignities from creepy guys, but that would be the weirdest thing to be in the library and just have some guy like crawling along on the carpet underneath the tables, sniffing your, not like looking up your skirt or anything, just sniffing your feet. That's what he's there for. Very bizarre. All right. Also in What's Up with Florida, here is Jolene Andrews, 46, and her boyfriend Alton Piles, 47. They got up to investigate the window in their home being smashed, and they encountered a man in full black tactical gear. He was wearing a ski mask, thigh holsters. He pointed a gun at them and had another gun in his holster. The couple ran back inside, tried to keep the intruder out, but he forced his way inside. Then the man grabbed the lady, tried to force her to the ground. And her son came in at that time with a gun. He could see what was going. He opened the bedroom door. He saw the masked intruder had a gun on his mother. So he picked up his gun and he shot the man and killed him.
Ooh.
A bullet is a bullet. One shot and you're dead, he said. That man turned out to be his own father.
What?
I'm afraid so. It seems like the man was named John Heisler. He had a restraining order taken out against him by his family back in April, which had recently been extended until May of next year. He had broken into the home a couple of months ago, but could not be charged as it was technically still in his name. So it was his you know, his own home that he broke into. But he came back, and who knows what he had in mind when he pointed a gun at his ex-wife, but it was his own son who ended up killing him and didn't know it was him. That just sounds like something you'd see out of a movie where they go and they have the body there and then they pull the mask off and it's dead.
Oh, does it say how old the son was?
Yes, the son was 18 years old.
Oh, jeez.
Shot and killed an armed, masked home intruder. Unbeknownst to him, it was his father. That does sound like some sort of an urban legend.
Yeah.
But in fact, it actually did happen this past week in Florida. All right, we got time for one more. Here's the arrest of a local man going viral. Perhaps you saw this one from Martin County. Sheriff's deputies say a man mistakenly texted the wrong number to sell cocaine. 29-year-old William Lamberson arrested and charged with possession of cocaine with intent to sell after his meeting up with a so-called hookup to sell drugs. He mistakenly texted. He thought he was talking to a friend of his. It turned out to be a wrong number. It was Captain Brian Bergen, who not only is a police officer, but he oversees the Martin County Sheriff Office's narcotics union.
Oh, no.
His first texts to me were basically, "Hey, bro, this is Will. You know what you would normally do," Captain Bergen said. He said he and the texter exchanged messages on and off for the next few weeks. There was eventually talk about buying marijuana and then cocaine. He immediately responded to that, jumped on it, offering up a good connection for some good cocaine, Captain Bergen said. So he set up the drug buy. William Lamberson was arrested and charged with possession of cocaine and intent to sell. Captain Bergen said he was concerned about what could have happened had Lamberson inadvertently texted a child. Look, this was somebody that dialed a wrong number. He did not know who I was, did not ask who I was. He was just that eager to deliver cocaine to somebody. It could have been somebody's kid who he missed out and basically played it the same way I did. So he is currently in jail on a $40,000 bond. That is, look, I'm glad that guy's not out there, you know, selling kids cocaine. But that's just bad luck.
Yeah, that's awful.
I mean, it could have been nobody's number. It could have been somebody who didn't respond. It happened to be a police officer with a narcotics unit. So that's not good luck for him. But he's in jail, and that's What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Time. Call me!
Remix. Hey, Ralph, before we get into the movie beat here on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean show, are we at the time of year where we are done with the summer movies but still not quite into the fall prestige good movies? Are we kind of in that twilight zone right now, or what's happening? What's the calendar looking like right now? You know how there are phases in
yes.
the film releases.
We've been in the prestige, small prestige films for a couple weeks now.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I'm curious to hear what's in theaters this weekend, then. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Smaller films are vying for attention, as we mentioned, for not only Academy Award consideration, but also for your entertainment dollar. Now that they don't have to compete with superheroes and dinosaurs and all kinds of big blockbuster stuff, some small films, like comedies and independent relationship films, are in the theaters this weekend, starting with a movie called Stonewall, which is, of course, based on the true events of the Stonewall riots regarding gay rights in New York City. It involves a young man's awakening and coming of age during the days and weeks leading up to the Stonewall riots, directed by Roland Emmerich, starring Jeremy Irvine, Ron Perlman, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, and Caleb Landry Jones. A lot of people with three names in this film. Here are some clips from the trailer of Stonewall.
We're an organization that fights for gay rights.
All right, it's a lane up against the wall.
This is what we're fighting.
Are you all just standing there now?
But we have to fight in a peaceful way and resist the radicalism that I see starting to take hold.
I like being mad.
That's not the way, Danny. It's the only way.
Hey, so we're having a parade to commemorate the fighting. I'm going to call it the Gay Liberation March.
I'm coming.
This film, according to the LGBT community, is not good.
Oh.
They're not happy with the portrayal of the events in this film. Roland Emmerich is the director. I'm shocked that he didn't make a good film. Remember? He's given us Godzilla and other films.
I think he did The Day After Tomorrow, maybe.
Tomorrow, yeah. He's got a long history of disappointment. So, look, you know, if you're making a film about a crucial event in the fight for gay, lesbian, and transgender rights, and you're not pleasing that audience,
yeah,
I think you got a problem on your hands. However, if you like horror movies, Eli Roth never disappoints. His latest terror fest, The Green Inferno, opens up this weekend. I can't even watch the trailer of this. Let alone this movie. My insides were screaming as I was watching the trailer. It's a story about a group of students, activists, who are traveling to the Amazon to save the rainforest, but their plane crash lands in that same rainforest, and they find out the indigenous peoples of those rainforests don't like whitey.
Oh.
And they take these students, and they start doing unspeakable things to them. It's terrifying on every possible level.
Is this a true story, Ralph?
No.
Oh.
But it is true. It is true in the lesson that it's teaching is do not try to do good things for the environment because you will be tortured and murdered. That's the lesson I think we can all take away from The Green Inferno. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Peru is dangerous. We can't just go invade a country because they're doing something that we think is immoral.
I know. I just think I should be doing something about the rainforest.
Vaya.
What are they going to do to us?
You know what this is? You know what they're doing to us?
You are all going to die tonight.
We are all going to die tonight in the jungle, that's for sure. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure it involves eating.
Ooh.
Eating some people.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, I think there's some eating going on.
I don't like it.
99 Homes and the Bitch Ain't One. Also coming out this weekend. 99 Homes is a story of Andrew Garfield, who plays a young father struggling to get his home back that he and his family were evicted from. His mother, played by Lauren Dern, and his young son are evicted by a greedy real estate broker. And in order to earn the money to get his home back, he takes a job working for that same real estate broker. This is a story of a compromiser, a man who works for the enemy in order to benefit his own family. And as you can imagine, he is terribly torn by that decision. Michael Shannon plays the sleazy, greedy real estate broker. Laura Dern, as I mentioned, was the mother. Clancy Brown, also in this film, looks terrific. Andrew Garfield looks great in this movie. 99 Homes is the name. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Mr. Carter, please don't.
Sir, you have 2 minutes. Pack whatever belongings you need.
Oh, my God.
Does he have to stand there while she packs up? Is that right?
Gotta work, you know?
So I want my home back.
Don't get emotional about real estate.
No, that's my family home.
If you want her.
I need to know that I have someone who can handle any situation 24/7.
Mr. Tanner, hate to say it, your eviction is scheduled for the day.
America doesn't bail out the losers.
You kicked me and my family out of our home?
I don't know you!
I know you!
You are all going to die tonight.
I don't think anybody's going to die tonight.
I don't think we're going to die, but that's a great topic for a movie, too, because, yeah. You know, the people at the banks, they just look at it as just an address, you know, but for somebody, that's their home that they lose.
But the fascinating part of the story is this: how morally compromised he gets, because this guy did this to him, and he ends up doing it to other people just in order to make enough money to pay for his own family's shelter and food. So it's a story of a man who has to compromise his own ethics and morals in order to keep his family afloat. So great premise, and I think the performance is
great. Cast
outstanding.
Too.
Yeah, Mississippi Grind comes out this weekend as well. Another small film, looks very entertaining. Ben Mendelsohn and Ryan Reynolds star as two down on their luck gamblers who set off on a road trip through the South with visions of winning back everything that Ben Mendelsohn needs to pay off the mob. Looks like a fun road movie with some dark undercurrents, but also a lot of light moments as well. Here's some clips from the trailer of Mississippi Grind.
Can I ask you a personal question? How much do you owe?
A lot.
To who?
Everyone. But I got a plan.
We go down the Mississippi, but we hit up all the action.
You'll be my lucky charm.
I love it. Next time you quit when I tell you it's time.
Some guys are born to lose.
The story doesn't have a happy ending, Jerry. I think you should go back home.
Can't go back empty-handed. I can't do that. We're in it together.
Looks good.
What should go wrong with gambling your way out of debt?
Nothing. S. Beer Mug, he knows. 97%! Ashby is another movie opening up this weekend. A coming-of-age story of a high school student, who played by Nat Wolff, who has to enter into a friendship with his neighbor, an elderly man called Ashby, played by Mickey Rourke, who's crazy! Ooh. And it turns out not only is he crazy, but he's a retired CIA assassin who teaches Nat a few things about life and love and kicking some ass, some bully ass. Ashby's the name of the movie. Here's some clips from the trailer.
What did you do for a living?
You worked for the CIA.
Don't tell any of your friends.
I don't have any friends. Ask anyone. I don't have any friends.
Girlfriend?
No, now you're just mocking me.
You can at least learn how to take a punch. You'll no doubt have to take many.
Ow! Ow!
Who's that for? I'm an old man.
You're not touching my son's privates, are you?
Jesus, Mom, no, he's not touching me.
You should be scared of the world. I kind of suspect the world should be scared of you.
Sarah Silverman stars as Nat's mom in this film as well. Mickey Rourke playing his age and seemingly very entertaining and funny. Looks like a charming film. It's called Ashby. It's in theaters everywhere. Hotel Transylvania 2, finally. Woo! Woo, Adam Sandler's a vampire! Woo! Yeah. Hotel Transylvania. You remember that? It was Adam Sandler as Dracula and Kevin James as the Mummy or the Blob or something, or Frankenstein. I don't know. I didn't see this damn movie. I'm not seeing this one either. It's annoying. But it's in the sequel. Dracula and his friends, they still have a hotel for monsters, and there's a thing that happens. And
sounds like you're pretty committed.
Dracula has a daughter, and now she's had a baby, so he's got a grandchild who's half human, half monster. And Dracula, played by Adam Sandberg, teaches. I'm getting dizzy. Teaches the son, the grandson, Twinkle Twinkle.
Valuable lesson.
Twinkle Twinkle Little Star in this clip.
What? That's not how that one goes.
This is the way most people sing it.
Most people? What's wrong with suffer, suffer, scream in pain, blood is spilling from your brain?
Daddy.
Come on, you know how I sang it to you. Zombies gnaw you like a plum, piercing cries and you succumb. Suffer, suffer, scream in pain, you will never breathe again.
See, because they're monsters, so they have different lullabies than we do.
Yeah.
That involve blood and stuff, right?
I just I looked it up, Ralph, while that interminable clip was playing. What do you think the box office was of the first Hotel Transylvania from 2012?
$14 billion.
Domestically, it was $148 million.
Oh,
foreign, $210 million.
Yeah.
For a worldwide gross of $358 million.
Yeah.
Hotel Transylvania.
Look, I'm not saying it didn't do well. I'm just saying I can't bear
no,
it.
No, I can't either.
I can't bear it.
Right there with you.
And lastly, The Intern opens up this weekend. Nancy Myers writes and directs this film starring Anne Hathaway as a go-getter business lady. And she needs an intern. Well, who does she get? A 70-year-old widower named Ben Whitaker, played by Robert De Niro, who has retired, and then he finds out it's not all it's cracked up to be, so he gets back into the business game, only to work as an intern for this this young lady who's struggling to make her way in business. And I'll tell you something. He's got some experience, this old man.
Yeah?
And old people are not to be discarded, Allie.
Really?
I love old people.
You discard them.
I love them.
I've seen you discard
old people. I hold them close
people.
To my bosom.
This guy's funny and cool like Bean's going to be when he's 100.
Yes, I am.
And Anne Hathaway learns an important lesson about life and love from Robert De Niro in these clips from The Intern.
All right, so there are all these questions for your profile that you can answer if you want to, like people who inspire you.
Jules Austin. You do inspire Jules.
Our investors just think that a seasoned CEO could take some things off your plate.
I mean, give me CEO lessons.
I never had anything like this in my life. This big, beautiful, exciting thing that you created.
Remember who did that?
It's moments like this when you need someone you know you can count on. Because you're my...
intern.
Well, I was going to say intern slash best friend.
Aww.
He's your intern slash best friend.
I think it looks lovely.
Oh, Allie. Why? Why, I guess, is the question.
That's just it. You're going to stop there?
Why do you think it looks lovely?
I saw the long preview when I went to see the movie. It looks...
That was a long preview. Those 30 seconds where it sounded like an hour.
They really learn a lot from each other.
Oh, it's so trite and typical and predictable and fake and just...
De Niro.
It's not anything that looks like any real life experience that anyone's ever had, ever.
That's why you go to the movie, to get away from your real life experience.
But it doesn't have Adam Sandler playing a vampire.
That's true.
That's true.
It'd be the perfect film. Those are your movies for the weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
RJ Bell joins us in about 15 minutes or so. He is 6-0 this year, don't you know, Allie?
He's amazing.
He's making our listeners money. Talking NFL, that is coming up. But first, this past April was the 150th anniversary of the end of the Civil War in this country. And I saw an interesting article this week about how, like many other things, Civil War reenactments are suffering from a dwindling number of participants. Back in the 80s, thousands and thousands and thousands of people were into these Civil War reenactments. This is where you get together and you pretend to be a guy on the Union side or a guy on the Confederate side, and you recreate the famous battles throughout history. Now sometimes a few dozen people show up for these reenactments. How do you get young people into Civil War reenactment? People who are new to it. What do you do? As somebody points out in this article, it's tough to convince the younger generations to embrace the hobby, as living history often loses to electronics and air conditioning. So kids are sitting around with their, their PS1 and their air conditioning, and they don't want to go outside and put on a sweaty, hot wool uniform and run around and pretend to be in a war, right?
What's a PS1?
Is that what it's called?
What's the, yeah, like 10 years ago. Loser.
We're on four, Bean. We're on four.
kids nowadays, if they're involved, it's because they really want to be. They have to be history buffs. They have to think it's neat to hold a musket or a sword or sleep in a tent or sleep like the Indians do. So the problem is, how do you get kids into Civil War reenactments? We wanted to find out more about this subject. We asked Dave, who can we find out? We have Colonel Ira Lefkowitz on the line with us. He joins us on KROQ right now. Hi, Colonel. Welcome, sir.
Why, hello, sir. How are you? It is indeed a pleasure to be speaking with you this morning, sir.
Now, are you a real colonel in the service, or is that just your part of your reenactment?
How dare you, sir? I am a colonel in the Confederate Army, member and leader of the Soldiers of New Market, as we are known when we take the battlefield, sir.
Okay, so you're just playing, then. You're just pretending to be a civil war soldier.
How dare you, sir? I am plumb tuckered out by your accusations. I sing out huzzah, sir, as you try to skedaddle my meaning away from all the sawbones and scarce as hen's teeth.
Wow. All right, Colonel. So the problem is, how do you get the younger generation?
How indeed, sir. How do we get these youngins to stop their highfalutin horse sense with their humbug and their PS1s?
Right? That's what I'm saying.
And how do we get them to become fresh fists, if you will, and sign up for either the Confederate or Union side of the Army and recreate some of the most glorious moments in military history?
Okay, well, that's actually the question that I'm asking you, is what are you going
to
do?
Here's how I intend to get the youngins all involved in these recreations that you so call recreations, sir, but to me they are true life, sir.
Okay.
If you have a hankering for adventure, and if you're tired of all the humbug, then I say, come, grab your John Barleycorn and let her rip. Long sweetening shall we quick step through Robber's Row played out on a picket with a pig sticker.
Okay.
Opening the ball
on
a no-account mule who's snug as a bug in somebody's darling. I sound on the goose, sir.
You're not making any sense.
I say, toe the mark, top rail, and I say, hey, would you stop it? I'm on the phone here. God damn it. Yes, sir. I say, join us, sir, for all you youngins. Come appreciate the joy that is the Civil War, sir.
Hey, Alan, I'm not kidding. I will come over there and kick your ass. I got a golf game in the morning. I got to get this finished. Do you mind?
No,
did I catch you in a bad time, Colonel?
I say to you, it just works a nightmare. I'm losing my business, and my wife is divorcing me. It's just the worst.
Well, this just got very sad all of a sudden. We're just talking about the Civil War reenactments.
This is a stupid thing I'm doing. Don't do this, kids. This is dumb. I've been doing this for years. I lost my wife. I've lost my business. What was I thinking?
Oh, no.
I stay home and play my PS1.
Exactly, sir. Our friend RJ Bell from pregame.com talks the NFL weekend coming up just after the top of the hour, and actress Stephanie Beatriz will be here as well from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
So hot.
And Modern Family.
She's so hot.
What, huh?
She's so hot.
Oh, yeah.
I love
Rose. Very funny.
Rose is like a thing for me.
I know. I got you, man. Time for the showbiz beat. Now, here's Ralph.
Before I get to showbiz news, how about I give you a little something for being up so early and tuning in? We do appreciate it. How about a pair of passes to the KROQ Advanced screening of The Martian?
Yeah!
Happening at the AMC Century City this Tuesday, September the 29th. The Martian is in theaters everywhere on October the 2nd, but you'll be able to see it early. Matt Damon, Jessica Chastain, Kristen Wiig, Jeff Daniels, Kate Mara, great cast. You know the story by now. Matt Damon gets left behind on Mars during a manned mission. His crew thinks that he's dead, only to find out that he is stranded alone on Mars and has to draw upon his wits, his ingenuity, to find a way to survive and signal Earth that he's alive and try to get home. If you'd like to go, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that number, we'll get a pair of passes to the KROQ Advanced screening of The Martian. Bean, you read the book, right?
I did.
How do they reconcile the thing we've all heard, that if you sign up for a trip to Mars, you're gone because you can never get there and back in time?
This movie and book are set in the near future, where we assume they have figured out a way to get there faster.
Warp drive. Right. Warp drive. Make it so, number one.
They do that. They get there in about...
they just go.
I think they get there in about 9 months or something like that. They're
awesome.
Able to work it out.
So awesome. Hey, you know Jimmy Kimmel does that mean tweets thing on his show?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is pretty awesome. He gets people who have been insulted on Twitter, the celebrities, to themselves read those same said insults.
Yeah.
Often to hilarious results.
Very funny.
Recently, Jimmy did a segment featuring tweets about Kristen Bell. And Kristen was on the show last night, as a matter of fact, reading a tweet about herself that went as following. Kristen Bell seems like such a bitch. Her vagina is probably an Alcatraz for penis. Was the mean tweet.
Why would somebody write that about Kristen Bell?
I don't know.
Who seems like the nicest lady in the world.
Be more lovely.
But it's a pretty hilarious tweet, quite frankly. Here's a thing that was a kind of a nice result. The author of that tweet caught the segment and apologized on Twitter for what he said.
Aww.
His name is George Lalia Jr., and here's what he wrote. Last night on Jimmy Kimmel Live, they used one of my tweets from 2011 about Kristen Bell for their mean tweet segment. I am not proud of this. I'd like to apologize to Ms. Bell and women everywhere. I'd also like to apologize to Alcatraz survivors and the city of San Francisco. Alcatraz survivors?
I don't know what that means.
I don't think he does either. I know better. Even at 19, I could have written a much better joke. I have over 5 women friends. And I find Miss Bell to be delightful and charming, and they deserve better material. I hope to grow and learn from this experience and hope that I can be a better joke writer with more concise with my humor in the future. Good day to you all. So even in his apology, he's got a sense of humor.
That's very funny.
That is very funny. He seems like a good guy.
I love that
now
those
writing for Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, right.
Right. That Mean Tweets is a great segment that Jimmy's been doing for a long time, and it is always brilliant.
Yes.
Cracks me up.
Elton John finally got a real phone call from Vladimir Putin. Really? Are we going to buy this again? Is that what you're saying? Last week, he was pranked, of course, by a Russian comedian who called Elton John claiming to be the Russian president.
When I saw that story, Ralph, I was on vacation when this broke. Yes. I was 50% convinced it was you that had pranked
Elton John.
How
dare you, sir? What about my past could lead you to believe that I would impersonate another person while talking to a famous person on the phone? How dare you? Anyway, Elton went public with it, saying, I just talked to Vladimir Putin, and it was, in fact, a hoax. Well, Elton actually spoke to Putin this time. Putin said, I know that some guys played a phone prank on you, he said to Elton. Don't get offended at them. They're harmless, but of course that doesn't excuse them. So the two apparently talked about the joke, and I'm sure had quite the laugh.
But Putin still wants Elton John and all gays put to death, right?
Sure, there's that. But look, you can find common ground sometimes, even if you have differing opinions.
Right.
And Willie Nelson, oh, good old Willie. He has lined up some sweet Wall Street financing to help sell
weed.
His own brand of weed. Good
guess,
Allie Mae. Tutara Capital is the name of the company who have signed the check, and they are backing Willie's Reserve. It's his own brand of weed that will be sold in Colorado and the state of Washington, where marijuana is legal. Willie said, I hear stories from people across the country about how the end of marijuana prohibition is improving their lives. Legal marijuana makes sense. Good business will prove it can work in America. So Willie might get rich off of weed. Hmm. Finally be making some money off of weed versus vice versa.
He certainly is committed to weed, isn't he?
He loves him some weed.
He really does.
This much we know.
And by the way, for people who complain that smoking pot turns you into a slacker who never accomplishes anything, look at Willie Nelson, man. He's like 80. He's out there. He's on the road. He's doing. He's writing and recording new music all the time. Acting. Seems to be very active, very happy.
I agree.
Couldn't smoke any more weed.
Right. My friend Kevin Smith could not be any more productive than he is. He writes every day. He does 38 podcasts. He's traveling. He's doing Q&As. Nobody I know is busier. And never does the man not have a joint in his mouth. So, take that, people who say otherwise. Sorry for my strong language. And John Hamm, of course, awarded the Emmy finally for his performance of Don Draper this year for his work in Mad Men. He has just been signed up by the people who produced SpongeBob SquarePants. He is going to be doing an upcoming episode of that show, airing sometime next year, playing a character named Don Grouper. Don Grouper! Grouper will be a charismatic head of an ad agency with a sharp mind and devastating charm, who SpongeBob and Mr. Krabs get a marketing advice from in order to launch a new line of frozen Krabby Patties. And apparently Don Grouper will come up with their commercials for them. So I'm already on board. Today's celebrity birthdays. Journalist Barbara Walters is 86 years old today. Actor Michael
Wawa?
Indeed. Actor Michael Douglas is 71. Luke Skywalker, the Joker, just some of the characters made famous by Mark Hamill. He is 64 years old today. Michael Madsen's 58. Heather Locklear is 54.
She's 54.
Wow.
She looks amazing.
Will Smith is 47. Catherine Zeta-Jones turns 46 years old today. T.I. is 35. And while we're talking about rapper actors, Donald Glover is also 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 106.7 KROQ. Let's face it, Allie. The only reason this show is still on the air is for this segment, right?
Pretty much.
I mean, people only have Kevin and Bean in mind because Friday morning, about this time, we catch up with our friend from pregame.com. We're talking RJ Bell. Hit it, Steve.
Because he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Pregame.com is the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. RJ Bell joins us every Friday at this time, who has an astonishing 6-0 record in his on-air picks this NFL season. RJ, you're always fond of making sure we don't get too excited about that number. Why?
Well, one is it cannot keep up. I'm just going to keep saying it because it seems to be helping. But, you know, we talk about it every week is professional bettors, the guys who make a living, who live in the big houses, don't have a boss, they win 55% of the time. So really, even though last year, you know, we were at 66%, which was insane, this year we've started out 6-0, our goal this year is to win money. If we end up winning at the end, that means we had fun and we won. Who can complain about that?
Exactly. Listener Eric writes in, 2 weeks, RJ so far is 6-0. That means for the rest of the season, he'll probably be going about 50%. So if I start betting this week, I'm not going to make any money. Damn it. I guess I'll have to wait till next year. So he already feels like you've peaked. You're out.
But, you know, I'm not sure. You know, it's funny because with gamblers, there's so many superstitions, right? If you win five in a row, it's like, some think you're going to win the next one because you're hot. Some think you're going to lose the next one. So everyone's got it. What I would say is that when you are on a streak, I actually like to follow streaks myself because I think that the person is more passionate. Let's think about it. When you're doing really well at your job, you get excited about it, right? When you're doing poorly, you're not as excited. So I think streaks actually help the next set of games, but it's certainly no guarantee.
Well, you are definitely on a streak right now. We got three great games to talk about this week, including the one that I think is probably the toughest to pick, only because you know it's going to be a blowout, but how much? Let's talk about your underdog special.
Yeah, I like this game a good bit. Jacksonville Jags playing the, you know, Tom Brady, the Super Bowl champions. I'm taking the Jags plus 13.5. That's the key. Typically, bettors, they want the better team. They don't really think about it. They understand the spread. They understand they're laying points. But they really understand emotionally in their gut. They want Tom Brady a lot more than they want Jacksonville. So, to me, those big favorites, they're popular. That means they're expensive. Like any other marketplace, when a lot of people want one thing, it's expensive. New England is expensive here. You know, if you go back 25 NFL seasons and all you did was play underdogs of over a touchdown, you would actually have made a little bit of money blind. Think about this. We hear about the bookies and the VIG and you can't beat the bookies. If all you had done in hindsight was play those big underdogs over a touchdown, you would have won just a little bit, but a little bit of money blind. So what makes it better than blind this week with Jacksonville? Well, typically it's about the favorite's motivation and focus. New England is 2-0. You know, it's hard to imagine they really care about blowing this game out. They just want to win the game. And you might say, lastly, well, Brady and Belichick, they're different. Check this out. Last stat is when they play at home, the Patriots, during the regular season, and they're not laying double digits, they're 27-7 against the spread.
Wow.
When they are laying double digits, 4-12 against the spread. Even the Patriots fall prey to this. Jags plus 13.5.
Now, Allie, are you offended by that?
100%.
Are you offended, Allie?
I'm a little offended by it, but now that I hear those numbers, it makes a little bit of
sense.
But I'm still offended, RJ.
Before we move on to the next to the best bet game, RJ, how often in the course of an NFL season will you see a point spread as large as 13.5 or even larger?
You know, in that two touchdown, usually that's the max. I mean, once you get past, let's say 15, it's very rare. But I'm just guessing across the season. I think you're going to see maybe a dozen games, let's say 13 or above.
Okay. Wow. All right, your best bet. You got Baltimore and Cincinnati. What's going on here?
Best bet on Baltimore. Baltimore's season is on the line. They're 0-2. If you go 0-3, you can forget about it. So literally, when you think motivation, this is max motivation for Baltimore. Cincy, on the other hand, 2-0. So, yeah, they want to win the game, but it's not that life and death type of intensity. And if you think about it, entering the season, which was only 2 weeks ago, these were considered to be even teams. So, yeah, it's really good that Cincinnati, for them, they won the two games. It's bad for Baltimore, they lost the two. But these two games don't tell you all that much about how good these teams are. They're just two games. Now, another thing to think about is that Baltimore has a really, really good home field. It's one of the bigger edges in the league. And Cincinnati is very reliant on their home field, thus they're not as good on the road. In fact, last 38 games that Cincinnati's played, the road team has only covered 12 of the 38, which means play Cincinnati at home because they tend to do well. Don't play them on the road. So we've got stats to back that up. And then lastly, the line in this game is 2.5. Well, in the NFL, very few games end up with the team winning by 1 or 2. So really, at 2.5, you're pretty much picking the winner. So we've got pretty much even teams. We've got one team, it's life and death. And we got one team at home, the same team, with a big home edge. And pretty much all we got to do is pick the winner. Baltimore, best bet.
100%.
You know, I'm going to hate when that we can't right. use that. But remember, let's save that in the bank. So let's right. say in week 12 when we go 3-0, we still have it.
Quick question, RJ, before we get to the big game, your Packers-Chiefs pick, and that is, what has the difference been in Las Vegas as a result of the rules changes for extra points in NFL games? You're going to have you talked about how you rarely win at 2 points. We might see some 2-point wins now because of the new extra point rules. What's the difference there for Las Vegas?
You know what's funny? That's such a common question. I'm shocked at the number of people asking that. I actually did something a couple weeks ago with the LA Times on this that was interesting. So, but real quick, the scoring is going to be less uniform. So typically in the NFL, you have so many games that end 3, 7, 10, 14. And you can think mm-hmm. about Super Bowl squares, and people love zeros and threes and fours because of that. But when you have missed extra points, when you have more teams going for two, like the Steelers actually went for two the first two touchdowns last week, you're going to just have the scoring be less uniform, which means those key numbers like 3 and 7 become less key. They're still the most common, but they're going to be a little bit less common because of the lack of uniform or less uniform scoring.
Gotcha. Monday Night Football, Packers, Chiefs. What says RJ Bell?
All right. This is our big game. We're going with the Packers again. We had them last week. Green Bay is really good, I think, and Vegas considers them and the Pats to be the two best teams. But it's easy. If you want to lay a lot of points, you can always back good teams. So it's not about Green Bay being good. It's about the fact I think they're underrated at home and overrated on the road. This is a Pack team. It's like 500 this season and last season on the road. But at home, they've been dominant. Check out this stat. Green Bay, in the first half at home, last 7 games, they've outscored their opponents 199-40. So they've got like 5 times the amount of points. Now, what does that mean? It means that the second half is deceiving. They've been blowing teams out, not every game, but some games, and thus they're running the clock out. They're playing some softer defense. So the stats and the scoreboard is a little bit deceiving because the games haven't been competitive. So I think you've got a team, Green Bay, that's even better at home than some people think. And then Kansas City, you've got to ask yourself, what kind of game does Alex Smith and Kansas City want to play? They want to play close games. They want to play conservative games. Well, if you're on the road at Green Bay, and the line in this is 6.5, it means at some point, imagine Alex Smith has the ball 2.5 minutes left, down by 7. That's not his game. He doesn't throw downfield. He doesn't play from behind. So if the Packers get up by 10 or 14, which feels likely, mm-hmm. KC and Alex Smith is not the type of team to come back. You add it all up, our big game, Green Bay -6.5.
100%.
6-0 in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. We'll talk to RJ next Friday and see if he's at 9-0 again. Recapping, Jaguars plus 13.5 versus the Patriots, Ravens minus 2.5 versus the Bengals, and the Packers minus 6.5 versus the Chiefs. Pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Have a great week, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
I'm not saying I worship at the altar of television, but I am saying that when the fall shows come back, when I get my stories back on the TV, I do feel like my life is complete again, and I can't wait for the return of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Season 3 premiere is going to be this Sunday night at 8:30 on Fox. We couldn't be more excited to welcome to the studio Stephanie Beatriz. She is Rosa.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
How are you?
I'm great.
You were Snapchatting us. How can we find you on Snapchat?
I am Steph Beats on Snapchat, Stephbeatz.
Fantastic. Well, we've been lucky enough over the first two seasons to catch up with most of your crew from the 9-9, but we're excited to finally get to meet Rosa. What's your relationship like with Rosa? Do you love her like we love her?
Oh, Rosa. She is truly a part of my alter ego, like that little part in yourself that's like totally scary and wild and crazy, and I've just like sort of been allowed to grow her a lot through the show, which has really been fun.
Why is she so hard? What happened in her life that
Nothing.
Got her the way she is?
You know, she has no like scary backstory. She just is who she
really?
Is, which I love personally. I mean, like the writers haven't created one, and in my mind, I haven't either. Because I don't know. You watch action movies. You watch like crazy, scary dude characters on TV, and none of them have. There's not
usually
a backstory.
They're allowed to be that way.
They're just allowed to be badasses, and mm-hmm. so she is. She's just allowed to be a badass. Yep. That's who she's decided she is.
But she has such a hard outer shell, and I look at you, and you seem so girly and so friendly and so nice, and
yeah.
you're the opposite of her, but you are somehow
acting,
able to...
Acting.
Acting is what it's all about. do you like her? Do you like Rosa?
I love her. I absolutely love her, and I identify with her a lot because there's a lot of times when I can't necessarily say what I want to say because, mm-hmm. you know, society. But
because, you know,
she
rules.
Does. Yeah. Yeah, rules, society, politeness, all that jazz. But she just does what she thinks is right in the moment. And I just love that about her. I absolutely love that about
Must
her.
Must be a good outlet for you.
Oh, my God. It's so great. It's so great. Anytime I get to smash something on set, I'm like, yes. It's great.
Is it tough for you, because you do work with one of the most talented and hilarious casts on television, is it tough for you to have to not smile and laugh? Because you have to want to with some of the stuff that's going on around you, but you can't because you're Rosa.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes I find myself transitioning into Rosa's character. I mean, I think Rosa and Jake particularly have like a really buddy-buddy relationship. So anytime that Andy is actually cracking Stephanie up, I can sort of shift it to Rosa's really enjoying what an idiot Jake is being. So that's helpful. But a lot of times, I can just like hold it together because Rosa, that's her sort of her job, I think, like,
yeah,
in
exactly.
the precinct.
Do you get recognized much on the street?
Never.
If you're out like, yeah, I was going to say, because when you walked in today, I mean, it's just shocking to not see you in a leather jacket.
Yeah, never. I never get recognized. The only place I've ever been recognized was Disneyland because I stupidly wore my Brooklyn Nine-Nine t-shirt. And like, I took off my sweatshirt and then like four people in line were like, are you Rosa? I was like, oh yeah, this is probably how to do it. Like wear it across my chest.
Just that have your friends call you Rosa.
Right? Walking down the street. Yep. And then one time in New York, because I had this chunk of my hair dyed pink for a movie that I did, and I was walking like in Central Park, and there were three little girls that noticed me because I think they followed my Instagram or something. They were like, Rosa! It was really sweet.
Aww.
That was super sweet. Teenage girls are my favorite fans. They're the coolest.
Were you the actress picked to play Rosa from the beginning?
Well, actually, the part was originally called Megan. And
what?
Yeah,
oh, not a Megan.
I don't
lame,
like
right?
it. Not a Megan.
Who's this? Megan. But Allison Jones, the casting director, she saw something in me and she called me in for it, and I read for it, and it just seemed like a really good fit. And Mike Schur and Dan Gore decided to change the name of the role to fit
Smart.
Me. They wanted to sort of make it a little more me-ish. But yeah, it's pretty exciting that they shifted something for me just because they wanted me in particular. It made me feel really good.
Did that add pressure?
Not really. It just made me feel like they believed in me.
Yeah.
You know, that they really wanted me to be a part of their team, which was really nice.
I don't know what that's like.
Oh, stop it, Allie. Everybody
you never will,
loves
Allie.
You.
Take me back to, look, you're an actress and you get a job and you're so happy, but we know that most TV series don't succeed.
Yeah.
When it debuted, it was a hit out of the gate. Like, night one was a smash. You guys must have just been high-fiving for days.
So amazing. And so very much like, what is this life?
Right?
Because, you know, like, not very far before, like, not long ago was I eating a lot of ramen and, you know, like picking up shifts at the workout place that I was working at. I mean, it was like a big change, shift in my life particularly. And I really am so grateful for it. The people that love the show. It's like kind of amazing.
And I love the fact that it was an instant hit, and it's not, you know, some shows take a while to kind of find their legs, but you guys, like, in the pilot, it seemed like you were already all so comfortable, and the writers totally knew what was going on, and it's not like a show that has...
Well, that's a dope compliment. Thanks.
But it's true, though. I mean, you guys were fully evolved when you hit the air.
I think we really benefited from the fact that, like, that a lot of the writers had been working on Parks and Rec, and Mike Schur was from Parks and Rec, so I think that they, you know, worked out a lot of kinks, you know, and... By the time they got to us, they were like, oh, let's see. We know how this goes, kind of, and let's, like, sort of figure this out as we go. But we benefited a lot from that.
Yeah, that's a great pedigree. Anyone, if you can get Parks and Rec, you get a fraction of what those guys had all these years, right?
They were amazing. Chelsea Peretti used to write on it, and now she's on our show. Like, what an amazing thing.
We love her, by the way.
She's
so well. Your whole cat. Well, we got to take a break. Stephanie Beatrice is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Brooklyn Nine-Nine returns for season 3 Sunday night at 8:30 on Fox. It is an awesome show. This is one. If it has not been in your rotation up to this point, put it in your rotation because it's one of the funniest 30 minutes on TV. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ. Actress Stephanie Beatrice in studio with us right now. She is Rosa on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, returning for season 3 this Sunday night on Fox at 8:30. Here's a taste of the beauty that is Rosa.
I think the perfect first date doesn't feel like a first date at all because you've known each other for a few years, maybe even worked together, and in one night you're laughing and all of a sudden it's like blammo, kissing.
For me, cheap dinner, watch basketball, bone down.
Boom. Rosa is the perfect woman, isn't she?
Isn't she? Isn't she just – she's just so easygoing.
So, Stephanie, I want to learn a little bit about you now that we've talked up 9-9. I want to find out about your – I hate to use this Hollywood word, but your journey.
Sure.
How you ended up being an actress. You grew up in Texas?
Yes. I grew up in Texas. My parents immigrated from South America when I was 2. And I started doing...
Is Donald Trump going to have you deported when he's president?
Donald Trump, thank you so much for inspiring so many Latinos to go out and register to vote. Thanks a lot. Wink! so I actually was in middle school, and there were only 3 electives in my middle school. There was speech and debate, choir, and band. And I signed up for choir, and the first day, the choir teacher was like, I think you may be not for you. Oh. Yeah. So I switched to speech and debate.
Okay.
Yeah, they heard me sing, and she was like, not into it. So that's when I started doing theater. And then I just, like, I went to college for it. I went to a women's college, which scholarships some men in so that there's, like, not just all productions of Little Women. And then after college, I moved to New York, and I started doing what they call regional theater, which basically means you live in New York, so you have, like, New York credibility, but you actually work all around the country. So I've worked at places like, Pittsburgh Public Theater, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, lots of different theaters all around the country.
So these are stage productions.
Yeah, all stage. I only did theater before I moved to LA.
Wow.
I only did theater. Like,
was there a time, either as a young girl or older, that was there a moment that a light bulb went off and you said, this is it, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life? Or did you just kind of gradually come to that conclusion?
You know, I think it was watching some of John Leguizamo's one-man shows where he would talk about wanting to be an actor and not really knowing how to go about doing it because it just wasn't really in his worldview. And I recognized that because I thought, like, oh, yeah, I didn't even really know that it was a job, really, like a possible thing that I could do.
You just thought it was something that other people did.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, hearing him talk about his journey sort of inspired me to start thinking of myself as an actor. I'm such a fan of his.
I'm always fascinated by people who make it in your business because just like being a little kid and wanting to grow up and play professional hockey, you know, the odds are so against anyone who wants to get into sports or entertainment. It's almost impossible to make it. I mean, it has to be talent and there have to be some breaks along the way as
well.
So at what point did you move to was there a point where you moved to Los Angeles and said, all right, now I'm going to try to get on television?
Yes, it was 2010. Actually, I was supposed to come in 2010, but I got offered a role in Measure for Measure at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival that I couldn't turn down because it was the lead, Isabella. So I delayed it for a year. So I came in 2011, and that was the first year of being in LA. And I've only
So it happened pretty
years.
Fast for you then once you
yeah.
got here.
Yeah, it did happen fast. I mean, I was very, like you said, very fortunate. I was in the right place at the right time. And I also studied my butt off so that I was ready when any opportunity came my way.
Did you have a backup plan if acting did
Hell
not
Hell no. No, I did not. I firmly believe that if you have a fallback, you will fall back. So I didn't have one for myself.
Well, you had a college education at least. I mean, you did have an education
yes.
to fall
I
back
did.
On.
I did, yes.
There
I,
wasn't any other job you wanted to do then.
Correct, yeah. I have a bachelor's degree, and education was very important to me because, you can't just you can't act in a bubble. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to, like, be empathetic and knowledgeable about other people's experiences, or how can you communicate those to an audience.
How proud are your parents of you?
They're pretty proud. Yeah. They're really excited. They're my biggest fans. Yeah. I was running a little late today because my mom texted me and I have to text her back. Otherwise, she'll think I'm dead.
Yeah. You know? That's her job.
But they're extremely proud. Yeah. Oh. They're wonderful. I mean, it's the American dream. It's
absolutely.
The American dream actually happened for them.
Yeah.
You know, it really
How'd
did.
You get on Modern Family?
Oh, that was a really fun process. I mean, I just auditioned like anybody else would, and I beat out a bunch of other ladies. I remember that.
If I know Rosie, you beat up a bunch of other ladies to get the job.
I was like very – that was a fun audition because I got to look super dowdy. I wore this like old nasty sweater that I only wear around my house. I was like slightly embarrassed walking through the lot like, sorry, I look like a maid. It was really fun. That process was really fun. I busted out some Spanish in the audition that I had like practiced. Yeah, it was fun. And
now,
it was a great experience.
The schedule that you're on with Brooklyn Nine-Nine, is it going to allow you to go off and do other things, or is it pretty much keep you busy most
of
the year?
No, it keeps you really busy. It's really busy. I mean, we have breaks in between. Like, we'll work like 4 weeks on and then have a week off and stuff, but it's pretty slamming.
It's not enough time off to go off and do a movie or something like that.
No. Luckily, I did a few during the big hiatus. Like, after we wrapped last season and before we started shooting this one, I was able to shoot a few, which I'm really excited about. One of them comes out in March.
Cool.
It's Pee-wee's Big Holiday. It's the next Pee-wee movie that's going to be on Netflix. It's going to be amazing.
My gosh.
You guys, it's going to be sick. It's going to be sick.
You're in that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I'm so pumped about it.
You're our new hero.
You're living the life.
Dude, it was amazing.
You really are living
Meeting
the life.
Him was incredible. It was incredible.
Are those computers on the set of Nine-Nine, are they hooked up?
No.
Can you actually...
No.
So you just have to pretend you're looking at stuff.
Yeah, I'm truly jealous of like stories I hear about The Office when they actually got the internet on their like desk computers. I swear they will not
you can
do that.
Christmas
with us.
Shop and stuff during the course of making.
Wouldn't it be amazing?
Show?
I could be like updating my Facebook page or whatever. No, you can't. You just like and plus like I don't wear my glasses when I'm on set, so I'm like legally blind. So once I take my glasses off and I'm in the background, I'm just like in my own thoughts back there meditating because I
can't see anything.
Diddly. Yeah.
You are blowing our minds. You will never watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine the same way. All right, real quick before we go, Stephanie, I want you to say some nice things about some people. Andy Samberg, first of all, did a great job hosting the Emmys the other night.
Didn't he do so amazing?
And, you know, he was, look, you had a lot of known quantities on the show. You know, Andre Brower, obviously, Terry Crews, people that we'd heard of before. But I remember the buzz was when Brooklyn Nine-Nine started, this is what Andy Samberg's doing after Saturday Night Live. And everybody was like, oh, I hope it's good. And it was, of course, it was great. He's a force of nature, that dude, isn't he?
Truly. He's not only the, like, smartest guy usually in the room, the funniest, but he's also the most generous, which is like someone in that position, they could easily turn into like kind of a monster, but he's become completely the opposite. He's the most generous.
When you're as big a star as him, you're going to be a dick, right?
Yeah, totally. Oh my gosh. I'll have like someone carry me around like Ariana Grande does.
Exactly.
That's what I'm going to do.
And you certainly won't be doing radio interviews, I'll tell you that, when you're that big a star.
I probably will just build my own radio station in my basement and then invite you guys to come there so I don't have to get up in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah, just
and I am incredibly intimidated by Andre Brower, who has been great in everything he's ever done. Oh. What's he like to work with?
He's a doll. He's not intimidating at all. In fact, he sings all the time. Most of the time, he's like carrying around his phone as like a boombox and singing like straight up 70s tunes at the top of his lungs. He's adorable. He wears shorts. I mean, you can't take Andre seriously like when he's wearing
really?
Shorts. Yeah. Like shorty shorts too. Like a little too
no,
short.
Like
maybe.
John Stockton
like,
shorts?
Like, you know, like. You know, normal would be like mid-thigh. I would say these are like upper mid-thigh. Yeah. He's got nice legs.
This is crazy. Truly. Again, you're ruining yet also making it so fascinating.
I'm humanizing them. I'm humanizing them for you.
All right. Season 3 premieres this Sunday night at 8:30 on Fox. What's going on? What do we need to know?
Oh, first of all, so the captain's been ousted, right? So he has this major rivalry with Wunsch, who's his boss, played by the amazing Keira Sedgwick, who, side note, the first thing I ever did on television was a guest star on The Closer. And she was lovely to me.
Wow,
lovely.
And now you're co-stars.
Yeah. And I told her that the first day she worked, and she looked at me sort of shocked because, again, no one ever recognized me. And she was like, oh, I'm so happy to see you here. She almost like got emotional. It was really sweet. It was like she was really happy for me. So anyway, that was a side note. So the captain's been ousted. You're going to see he and Gina in their new position in the PR department for the NYPD. And we are getting a new captain played by the miraculous Bill Hader, who's hilarious. hilarious. So you're going to see the squad sort of deal with their new captain, who obviously they all hate because they love Captain Holt. And you're also going to see Jake and Amy figure out what they are doing together. I mean, they had a big kiss at the end of the season, so
we're going to see
whether or not they, you know, can figure it out, those two dummies.
All right. So great to meet you. So in love with the show. Can't wait for
it to come back.
Looking forward to it all season long. And you are welcome anytime, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for having me.
A lot of fun. He is the very first American Ninja Warrior. Recently walked away with a $1 million grand prize on that show. Isaac Caldeiro joins us in studio coming up just after 8 on K-Rock. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
USA! USA!
Right?
USA! Finally. Finally, some American ninjas.
You're not going to believe this guy.
Michael Dudikoff.
I can't believe this guy's real. Did you watch that thing, Allie?
It's insane. And we were like, all season, we were saying, the show's ridiculous. No one's ever going to win it. Yeah. Why do we keep watching?
Two, a deuce in one episode.
Right. Unreal.
Shows you how easy that show is.
Right? Anyone can do it.
Two guys can do it.
How long would it take you guys to climb that rope, that 75-foot rope?
I'd still be on it.
Why do you think that I could ever get up that rope?
Like if you had a year, could you get up that rope?
No. Do you have a ladder? Is there a cherry picker involved in this process?
What if the rope was on fire?
Then I would burn. I would burn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very well.
Look, I could get 4 feet off the ground, maybe. Yeah. Before my arms just gave out and I got exhausted. This guy shot
up like he was being fired out of a cannon. Yeah. I mean, it was just insane.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk to Isaac coming up.
First of all, I want to thank listener Edwin, who always sends me wildly entertaining emails, largely about Bean. And I don't know if you heard it this morning or not, but Bean asserted that he will be the coolest old guy around someday.
Mm-hmm.
When he is old, he's going to be cool and hip, and he's going to know everything there is to know about modern stuff. And that's why he's going to be so cool. Edwin writes,
yes, and I stand by that. I'm going to be the 100-year-old that people are going to be amazed who's still current and contemporary and dialed in to what's on TV and what people are listening to and what the new technologies are.
Quick reminder. You're the guy who said PS1 today. I'm talking about playing video games.
About 3 minutes later.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're up to PS4 now.
Right.
I just want to let you know that you're not even current now at this
age. I've got some homework to do, but I'm telling you, when I get to be 100, though, I'm going to be so hip.
You got the next 50 years or so to catch up.
Right.
Edwin writes, perhaps you can read Bean some of his tweets or emails or quote anything he has ever said to disabuse him of this notion. Or maybe it should be a scientific survey question. Will Bean be a cool old guy? I think that's a great idea for Monday. Maybe we should open up the phones and see what happens. But
how dare you?
Yeah. And then Edwin followed up with this email. How about this for a movie idea? Bean Baxter, the coolest old man in the world, in The Intern. Can you imagine Bean in that movie, regaling his boss with tales of the post office? We got to hire this guy. He's funny. All right, speaking of movies, Spectre's coming out. New Bond. We get New Bond this fall. Very excited to see Daniel Craig reprise his role as 007. And now we have heard, finally, as of this morning, the new James Bond theme song for the movie. It's called Writings on the Wall. It is sung by Sam Smith. He also co-wrote the song with Jimmy Napes, same songwriting team that scooped up the Grammy Award for Song of the Year with Stay With Me. Here is the insanely high-pitched Sam Smith. That's not Sam Smith.
That's great.
Could you I wanna feel love,
'cause the writing's on the wall.
I like it. I like it. Ralph, it's...
Can that be a hit? That can't be a hit, right?
Yes. Skyfall? Skyfall was a hit. Granted, now, I mean, she was
Skyfall's Adele. a little bit jazzier, a little more upswing, I think.
I think this one will grow on people the more they hear it.
I mean, I like it. It sounds very James Bond themey, but I just I can't see it crossing over and hitting the top 10 like Skyfall did. I don't know. We'll
see. Want to put some money on it?
A crisp $1 bill? Your usual wager?
Like I do. Hey, I know it's... there have been other men who sing the James Bond theme, obviously.
Yes.
Chris Cornell and
Tom
Paul
Jones.
McCartney. Tom Jones, yeah. But
Duran Duran.
Duran Duran.
Usually, in my mind, it's usually a woman. Most of them seem to be by females, right?
You just named a bunch of men.
But I'm saying...
out of your mind came a list of men, and then you went back and said, in my mind,
well,
I think of women.
No, I was setting up the fact that there... I acknowledge that there are some men who have done it, but having the overwhelming... number of James Bond themes been your Shirley Bassey's, yeah, and people like that.
Probably four to one ratio.
Lulu, yeah, people like that. Right?
Yeah.
I like this song.
I have feelings. Cuba feelings about James Bond.
I'm standing by whatever it was I said yesterday about my Cuba feelings.
God. That's a whole other thing. Maybe Monday we need to break that down for Kevin, because he's gonna be so gleeful when
Kevin will be
that
with
segment.
Me. He'll have my back on that.
Kanye West is
guilty.
Serious about his 2020 presidential run. He is serious. He told Vanity Fair he is serious.
Listen to the kids, bro!
I was always wondering and worrying how soon in American history we would have a candidate as crazy as Donald Trump, and I'm happy to know that we've got one right around the corner. He's made his first position statement regarding his presidency. Here it is. I think sweatshirts are the way of the future, said Kanye.
I support him. Good.
Come on.
Let's do this.
Come on.
It's about ideas, bro.
Right, bro? Come on.
Let me read you the quote from Vanity Fair. I think sweatshirts are the way of the future. And we work so hard on our development of our actual sweatshirts, he said regarding his own clothing line. Sweatshirts are effing important. That might sound like the funniest quote ever. How can you say all this stuff about running for president in 2020, then say sweatshirts are important? But they are. Just mark my words. Mark my words like Mark Twain.
What?
That doesn't make any
sense.
Does
he think the phrase mark my words came from Mark Twain?
I bet he does.
Does he think mark my words involves the name Mark?
Oh, wow. Damn. And you know what's weird is when he got that big award from MTV a couple of weeks ago, he was wearing one of his own sweatshirt designs. And it looked like the type of cloth that you would put in a bucket in the garage when you needed to wash your car.
It looked very schlubby.
Super ratty, right?
Yeah. Looked like an old chamois.
Right.
Yeah, it's he's the best. He's simply the best. What can I say?
We the millennials, bro.
Right.
Dude, you're like 40.
You're not. First
you're like
of all,
40. We maybe, but you are not. Today's celebrity birthdays. Journalist Barbara Walters is 86 years old today. She's officially retired, right? She doesn't really do anything anymore?
I think she is coming back for some specials.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope she does that 10 most fascinating people thing.
I need it.
Oh,
I need it.
Actor Michael Douglas, so great recently in Ant-Man, 71 years old today. Mark Hamill, you know that dude. Coming back with a lightsaber in his hand to fight.
Yep.
The dark side. Yep. Or is he gone to the dark side?
Right?
We don't know.
We don't know, Ralph. Oh, my God, I can't even wait.
All I know is that little BB-8. That's an adorable robot.
Oh, dogs love it.
Michael Madsen is 58 years old today. Heather Locklear is 54. Will Smith is 47. Catherine Zeta-Jones is 46. Michael Douglas's wife. They have the same birthday. Isn't that adorable? Rapper T.I. is 35. And Donald Glover from Community. Rapper as well, 32 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Tina Munoz from Diamond Bar. Tina won herself some tickets to go see Muse at Staples Center on December 18th and also access to the exclusive K-Rock after party with the band on the roof of the Ace Hotel. Your chance to win is coming up. Details at krock.com. You're listening to Kevin Bean Show on a Friday. Here's a thing that happened on my TV a couple of weeks ago.
Great job. Paul Darrow seems to be in complete control here on stage three. He's through, and he is getting close. He has to sense it, as does the crowd.
Good, Isaac. Yeah.
Matt, this is a course no one's ever finished, and this busboy is gliding across it like it's nothing. Are you kidding me?
Don't tell me dreams don't come true.
History has been made.
Yes.
Isaac Caldiero, the first American ever to complete Stage 3.
I've watched that like 5 times. I've heard that clip so many times. I still get goosebumps every time I hear it. What's it like for you, Isaac, to be listening to that right now?
It's the same thing, man. I'm just reliving that moment and being there in Vegas. And it literally was like a dream come true to me. And it brings me back to that moment and where I was actually kind of in a different place and in my mind, because I was just kind of delirious and all, you know, all the adrenaline.
So. Yeah. Did any part of you think you couldn't do it?
I mean, not until the very, very final point of the when I was on stage 4, there was like a small moment where I kind of felt a little bit like unsure about what was going on, mostly due to the fact that, you know, they announced the time that I had to beat. So I had to beat 30 seconds up a 77-foot rope. And all the training I've done, I've never done that amount of climbing in under 36 seconds, even on a good day.
Wow.
So to factor in the point that I'd just done stage 2, 3, and now I'm on stage 4, in the middle of the night, you know, totally heat exhausted and delirious, to be able to perform at that level was just, I mean, out of this world. So,
oh my gosh.
That is incredible. So it was your best ever time on that rope, the time that won you the $1 million.
Yep, by a good 10 seconds. So I summoned the beast within somehow. And
also, a few beasts, really. Wow.
I admire so much what guys like you are able to accomplish. I mean, obviously, anyone who's ever seen American Ninja Warrior, particularly your run on it, Isaac, physically, it's inconceivable. I mean, you're doing things that 99.9% of people in the world can't do. But I'm even more fascinated with mentally. Like, how can you hear the crowd? What are you thinking about? Are you very methodical, looking at one hand over the other? Or is it all just instinct? What's going through your head while you're actually on the course?
So the majority of my training from a very young age has been based on the mental aspect of training. I mean, everyone is very, very physical on the show. There's really a lot of talented athletes. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to your mental strength and your mental abilities to be able to focus and, yeah, kind of block out the crowd or use it to help you kind of to get better and to move forward and to not get nervous. But it can go either way, so it's really hard to stay focused and to stay calm. And so I do a lot of breathing techniques to help me stay focused and calm, and as well to kind of lower my heart rate and to, you know, to help eliminate the fatigue in my arms. And it just, I don't know, it just helps me kind of zone in and, you know, be one with the course, so to speak.
So you don't hear your girlfriend yelling. You don't hear your members of the wolf pack that are there, your family. You just block all of that out and just it's just you and the course.
Yeah, I mean, up until the point of the course, I mean, I know they're there. I listen to them. I feel their energy. I let them in. But as soon as it's time to go on the course, everything just kind of disappears around me. There's nothing below me. I don't know. I just kind of go to this different place, and I just kind of float through the obstacles, and it just comes very naturally to me. And, you know, sometimes I go faster. Sometimes I go slower. None of that's really premeditated. It just happens how it happens. And then, you know, there's certain points throughout the competition where I feel comfortable, and that's when I can like celebrate and then let my family and my loved ones kind of in, and then, like, you know, kind of celebrate with them and respond to them. And then, then it's like, all right, back to the game.
Wow.
Time to get serious.
What's the secret to beating muscle fatigue? And the reason I ask is because you go through all these different points of the course where I can see doing one of those challenges and then sitting down for like an hour and then getting up and doing the next one. But you're instantly able to move on to the next one 5 seconds later. Like, your muscles do get tired, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the training that you know, me and my girlfriend Laura do is based off of training for the specific obstacles and to not stop at all. So, you know, you just learn how to train from one obstacle to the next until failure. So for us to go on these obstacles and be able to compete, you know, she was also one of the top female athletes on the show this last year. So we have a good, you know, we're a power couple. We work together and train and motivate each other. So for us to perform on this course like this, it's just like, it's what we do. You know,
yeah,
it's like,
you just keep going. When your arms are on fire and you think you cannot get to another thing, you just do.
Yep. I mean, the biggest point is to not let your arms get to that point. If they get to that point where they are on fire, then you're done. You're going to fall in the water. It's game over. So the whole point is to learn how to do these really difficult movements and difficult, really powerful obstacles with using as little amount of energy as possible, so you can, you know, preserve the gas tank, so to speak, all the way till the end.
This is the voice of Isaac Caldeiro here on the Kevin DiBiccio. He's the first American Ninja Warrior. You saw him a couple of weeks ago win that $1 million on stage four of the competition, which, as you pointed out, you didn't just have to do it. You had to do it faster than the guy who had done it before you, which was nothing anyone could have predicted going into that night, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, no one's even made it past stage three in the last 7 years. So for just that to happen alone was this amazing moment. And then to have two really talented athletes who worked really hard to be there and to be going head-to-head. You know, this is the first time in the entire competition where, you know, it's no longer you versus the obstacle. It's you versus your fellow competitor.
Right,
so everything kind of changed at that moment. And, you know, it ultimately came down to who had the fastest time. And that's how I obtained total victory.
Because you're half spider monkey. That's why.
Yeah, he is. Did it ever occur to you to give him half?
Did it ever occur to me?
Yeah. I'm totally kidding, because there's no way you're giving up half your money to that guy. But I like that you actually thought about it to answer. But no, right?
You're so sweet.
He's a really nice guy, you know, and I really like Jeff
loser.
A lot. Yeah.
For a second place.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, there's only, you know, cash prize for the first place winner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll see what happens in the future. Hopefully, you know, the show itself will make a bigger effort in the future, you know, but that's kind of how the name of the game has been over the years. It's like kind of an all or nothing type of deal. So.
And are you allowed to come back and compete again?
I hope so, if they like me.
Would you? Do you want to? I mean,
of course.
You do? Wow.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, that's the cool thing about this whole sport is that it's ever evolving. You know, mm-hmm. it's nonstop. And if you look at the history in Japan, it's been going for 31 seasons. And each year it gets harder and harder and harder. So it's like a whole new season. Next year is going to be a whole new season. It's like a fresh start. New obstacles, much more difficult, hopefully.
Yeah.
And they'll just, you know, all of us athletes are nonstop training and getting stronger. Just like over the last few years in America, they've had to adjust the course to our strength.
Right.
And kind of follow mm-hmm. up. You know, they're always kind of like watching what we're doing, checking out our training techniques and adjusting the course accordingly. So,
Isaac, it says on your bio on the show that you are a professional rock climber. Is there a way to make a living doing that?
Barely. Yeah, it's kind of like pulling teeth sometimes, and it's been really difficult. You know, from a young age, I've really wanted to, you know, be a professional rock climber, just be able to travel the world and rock climb, but it's not as glamorous as it may seem. So I've learned and designed my lifestyle around, you know, pinching pennies and being really frugal. You know, at one point in time in my life, I was able to go for like 6 or 7 months sleeping out of the front seat of my car with a couple $100 that I'd saved up. You know, I used to clean bathrooms and trade for climbing and then work at a climbing shop. Save up a couple $100, hit the road, and I was eating cereal with water in the morning, you know, tuna fish and wheat thins, and then, you know, little ramen noodles and potatoes every night, and I was able to I was living the dream. I was rock climbing every day. And
yeah.
Okay, that's not living the dream, sir. I have news for you.
Well, he was living his dream.
When you're sleeping in the front seat of your car, you're not living the dream.
In the middle of the desert.
In rock climbing, are there certainly these opportunities will open themselves up for you now that you are so well known with this show? But I mean, are there such things as sponsorships and things like that?
Yeah, of course. You know, and they're definitely out there. You know, the industry is growing, and you know, I've been in the industry for 18 years as a rock climber, and I've seen it kind of progress in a really big way. So it's motivating to see, like, especially for future generations, like. There's actually going to be more legitimate professional rock climbers.
Right.
Whereas in the past, it was like less than a handful. A couple people maybe actually were able to make a living.
I remember it's when they would really open difficult. Actual rock climbing gyms and people were like, what is happening? This is the craziest looking thing. Who's going to come and do this? And now they're everywhere.
Oh, it's blossoming up all over the place. And the cool thing about rock climbing, which is very similar to the American Ninja Warrior obstacles and gyms that will eventually be popping up, is that, you know, it's something so fun to go and do with your friends or your family and loved ones. And at the end of the day, you don't even feel like you were working out or training.
Mm-hmm.
You were just having fun rock climbing.
Fun. Yeah.
And you're sore and you're all, you know, your muscles are beat up and then you just get stronger. And so not once are you ever feeling like, I'm training, you know, it's just having fun.
Well, as a guy who has lived so frugally for so long in pursuit of your dream, now that you have accomplished it and you have all of this money, do you think that your life is going to change that much?
You know, I don't want it to change. You know, me and Laura, my soulmate, we do everything together. We've always, you know, we share a car, we share a phone. We're very, very frugal and live simply. And this is just going to be a really cool opportunity and a tool for us to use to, you know, extend our dream and our passion for the rest of our lives and not have to worry about working, you know, kind of, you know, jobs that we don't really enjoy, but mm-hmm. we do it to, you know, make ends meet, you know, like,
exactly.
you know, she does a lot of baristaing and I do a lot of, you know, I'll bus tables or construction work or
Isaac, you're
it takes,
almost
so.
Making me believe in love right now. Almost. This is amazing.
You can find it. It's out there.
Oh, you're a liar.
Well, you
but
are
thank you.
Such a nice man and such an inspiration. And we have to. I have to make sure that we've posted this clip on the Kevin Bean social media so people who have not had a chance to see you win American Ninja Warrior do.
Unreal.
Because it really is one of the – I mean, it almost looks like special effects in a movie, like the type of thing they would make it look like Tom Cruise is doing in Mission Impossible. The way you jump, the way you climb, the way you pull – I mean, it really is so remarkable. We congratulate you from the bottom of our hearts on being the first American Ninja Warrior. And seriously, we can't wait to see what you do next. Thanks so much for stopping by, Isaac.
Thank you, Bean.
We are going to talk to our old friend Steve-O coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Also, actress Kristen Schaal in the 9 o'clock hour. That is coming up as well. Allie, I one day would like to be in a coma. That's on my list of things I'd like to do. I know it sounds maybe surprising to you.
Yeah, really morbid, actually.
But I feel like I want to come out of it. I don't want to die or stay in it. I'd like to be in a coma for sure. I feel like it'd be the best sleep I ever got in my life. It would be so restful. You know, it's kind of like you know, shutting your computer down. It's
sure.
Just quiet.
How long would you like to be out?
Well, the thing about being in a coma is you don't know how long you're in there. I mean, I think if I was in a coma for 10 minutes, it would feel the same to me as being in a coma for a year, right? But I would just wake up and I'd be so refreshed.
All right.
And the reason I'm thinking about this is because there is a coma in the news. This is a great story about at the time he was 18 years old in 2004. His name is Jesus or Jesus Aparicio. He was involved in a car crash that left him in a coma. He just woke up last month from this coma. So he was in a coma for 11 years.
Wow.
And what's interesting about this guy is he was really into tennis. Like, that was his thing. An 18-year-old who was obsessed with Roger Federer, who at the time of the coma was the number one tennis player in the world. So one of the first things that Jesus did when he woke up was, hey, what's going on with Roger Federer?
Thinking, obviously, it's been 11 years.
11
years.
He
can't be playing anymore, can he?
Right. What? Hey, tell me, catch me up with my favorite athlete, Roger Federer. What year did he retire? And they said, not only is he still playing, he's ranked number two in the world, and he's playing at the U.S. Open this weekend. So the guy came out of the coma in time to watch his hero, Roger Federer, play in the U.S. Open. Of course, he did lose that finals match, but at least he got to see it. But imagine how surprised you would be 11 years later that your guy is still playing tennis. But I'm so fascinated with what this guy's life is like now, having missed 11 years, and we have Jesus Aparicio on the phone with us right now. Jesus, thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me.
You must be so relieved to be out of that coma. That just must have been the happiest day of your life when you realized, hey, I'm alive.
Well, you know, when you're in a coma, you don't know you're in a coma. You just think you're sleeping, you know? So
right.
it's like,
right.
I'm not like relieved or anything. I'm just like, oh, I went to sleep. Hey, wait, hold on a second. It's 11 years later. That's crazy.
11 years, yeah. Now, have you heard anything from Roger Federer? I'm sure he heard about your story, about what a big fan you are. Has he reached out to you at all?
No, I'm keep waiting. You know, I'm like, how about, a card or just some flowers or a box of chocolate or a fruit basket or something, you know? But again, nothing from him. And I'm like one of his biggest fans. And, you know, I have like 11 years to catch up on his whole career, you know?
How surprised were you that he is not only still playing, but dominating?
And oh, it's crazy, right?
Right.
I'm like, what's happening with Roger Federer? Is he still alive? And they say, alive? He's like playing tennis and everything. I'm like, damn. That's a lot of tennis, 11 years.
Right.
Yeah. So has it been a tough adjustment for you to get back into the world as it is in 2015? Have a lot of things changed for you, Jesus?
I'm ready to get back, you know, everything. First of all, I got to find out, is Ross and Rachel still together or not? Because I'm dying to see what's going on with those shows, because that's got to be 11 years I got to catch up on all. I got to, like, binge watch all the Friends, you know, that I missed all this 11 years worth of shows.
They took a break, but
I think that show's been off for about 11 years.
Stuff happened, yeah.
Yeah. Also, Lost, right? Like, what's going on with theirs? Like, what is it, with smoke monsters and stuff? So is it like...
You don't want to know.
They get off the island?
We don't know. That one. Yeah, you might not want to find out.
It's best if you don't know, Jesus, on that one.
Hey, I'm a big fan of the news as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that finally they got rid of that liar Tom Brokaw. They put Brian Williams in the anchor chair for NBC Nightly News. And I'm so glad finally somebody I can trust, you know, because I watched that Tom Brokaw. I was like, I don't believe him. I think he's like a liar, you know. So yeah. Brian Williams, finally I can believe the news from somebody, you know.
Brian Williams made up a bunch of stuff, and he got fired too. So he's no longer in the NBC News chair. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Jesus.
Hey, how about Lance Armstrong? He won like six tours of France, huh? That's crazy. He's like best cycle guy ever. He's like my second favorite of all like athletes. First, Roger Federer, and then like Lance Armstrong. He's,
right.
He's so good. He's got like one ball, but he still drives really fast on the bike.
Right.
Oh,
right? He was juicing. It turned out he was cheating, and they stripped him of all of those Tour de France titles. So he didn't win anything. He's out. He's done. I'm sorry to have all this bad news for you, Jesus.
But Bush is still president, right? Like the greatest president ever for America, because we finally got the war to get those WMDs out of all those places that
well,
they have.
Well, there weren't any.
Got in there
any.
To go get all the weapons of mass destruction. Like, yay, we're going to fight the wars and save everybody.
They didn't find those.
Yeah.
They didn't find those, and he's no longer president either. So, yeah, you missed a lot, Jesus.
But he's drawing dogs and stuff. He's painting.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard they let gay people get married in Massachusetts. We nipped that in the bud, right?
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Always a pleasure to catch up with our old friend, Steve-O.
Yeah, dude.
Steve-O is on the phone. You'll see him on stage tonight at the Irvine Improv with five big shows. Two shows tonight, two shows Saturday, and then again on Sunday night. Again, Irvine Improv, improv.com. Hey, Steve, what's going on, man?
I'm doing good, man. So happy to talk to you guys.
It's always a pleasure. I'm sorry Kevin is missing you this time. He is on vacation. And speaking of vacations, did you go to Fiji recently, Steve?
You bet I did.
Tell me about that. That's a place I've not been. How'd you end up there?
Well, I actually planned on going there like about, I don't know, 10 days before I left. But I had a particularly eventful night before I left when I decided to do something to help whales, which I'm sure you guys heard about.
I think that was on the news. For
yeah,
our listeners,
I saw a couple stories.
Who didn't hear? What'd you do this time, Steve-O?
I just, it turns out that I'm the dumbest protester ever. I wanted to help the whales by protesting SeaWorld, so I went to a construction site, which makes no sense at all. And I brought an inflatable killer whale and decided to climb up a 150-foot crane to inflate the killer whale. Of course, unfortunately, when you're 150 feet in the air, nobody can see the damn thing, which makes it even dumber. And by the time I got up there on top of this crane, I mean, literally 80 firefighters, 18 cops, a helicopter, and a SWAT team all converged on the construction site. And it wasn't particularly easy for me to tell them, hey, guys, it's no big deal. Nothing's really going on here, because I was on top of a damn 150-foot crane. So my best thinking was, well, I better hurry up and blow up these fireworks to save the whale.
Sure.
Which, again, had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah,
and I was promptly arrested when I came down, which I deserved. And now I am in quite a bit of trouble. But, frankly, I wanted to make a statement and get some headlines going, and I accomplished that. Of course, and what I also did was to waste a lot of resources, you know, like 80 firefighters and 18 cops. And
by the way, let me stop you right there, Steve-O. You did a dumb thing, and I assume they charged you with trespassing. I mean, what else could they charge you with? That's all you did is trespassed, right?
Right. You would think of it that way, but creating a false emergency.
But yeah. it's not your fault if they send out 85 firefighters and police officers, though. You didn't request that. That seems like it's on them. It sounds to me like they sent too many people.
They didn't know what was going on. You can never be too careful. And, whatever happens, like, I did it. I'm going to, sort of accept my punishment like a man. And whatever that means, I'm happy to do it, especially because we've brought so much attention to what I believe is a good cause. You know, I might be an idiot protester, but I'm also an effective one.
What are you facing in terms of charges?
I've got aggravated trespassing, creating a false emergency, some kind of storing and blowing up illegal fireworks.
They got you for the fireworks too. And what are you facing in terms of time though? What can they do to you if you are convicted on all counts, Evo?
That remains to be seen because I have my court date's not until next Wednesday.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. But of course, there's jail time is possible, and actually, really quite likely. And then there's a community labor and stuff.
But let me ask you this, Steve-O, and maybe you're too close to this to know. This doesn't sound like the type of thing that we ought to be taking up a spot in jail for. I mean, this is a civil disturbance. This is you protesting, basically, to make a point. I mean, yeah, give you community service. Don't send you to jail. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't help anybody.
Yeah, but brother, if you're gonna make a statement about captivity.
That is an excellent point, Steve-O.
You know what, my man? That is actually the one sliver of cleverness in the whole idiotic plan.
Got him.
You're gonna find out what it's like to be a whale when you're trapped in that little prison cell, right?
Right, right. And again, a lot more came of it than I ever intended, and I genuinely do feel bad for wasting all of the resources. And again, whatever punishment I get, I am going to take it like a man.
Okay.
And that's a great way to sell tickets for this weekend. We might not see you again for a long time.
Yeah, am I going to jail parties in Irvine?
Right.
I like it. Five big shows at the Irvine Improv, two shows tonight, then Saturday night, two shows, then Sunday night, one show. By the way, Steve-O, for folks who are like, wait a minute. What? Go ahead.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you so rudely. I have big news, man. You guys know I've been grinding, working my butt off doing stand-up for many years now.
Yes,
and,
yes.
I got a deal with Showtime, man. I am going to be taping my comedy special on November 21st in Austin, Texas.
That is fantastic.
Right, it's really, really a big deal for me. I expect this is gonna this might really open some doors for me and do a lot. And it also speaks to the work I've done and the quality of my show. I'm really, really thrilled. And
well, you should be.
For those who have seen me at the Irvine Improv before, too, like, don't even worry about it because I got so much new stuff.
That's awesome. I was just going to say, Steve-O, that, for folks who are thinking, wait a minute, Steve-O's a Jackass guy. He does comedy. Steve-O's been doing comedy for years. You did it kind of part-time for a number of years, even during the Jackass, and then you kind of dedicated yourself to it full-time after the last Jackass movie, and that's pretty much what you've been doing. You've got, you played our Foolishness show a couple of years ago. You've gotten really good at it. Really funny show.
Man.
And the fact that you're going to have a TV special on it is amazing, dude. I mean, that has got to be such a feeling of accomplishment.
It's a big deal. And the title of my special, I've actually been, I called my tour for the last couple of years the Guilty as Charged Tour, which is pretty good. Like, and it's sort of like alcoholic, drug addict, sexual deviant, lunatic, you bet. Steve-O's Guilty as Charged.
Guilty as Charged.
And, yeah, man, and it's just that's how I do my comedy. It's more sex, drugs, and rock and roll than you can shake a stick at.
It's the most sex, drugs, and rock and roll you'll ever get out of a guy who is a healthy vegan, non-drinker, non-drug user.
That's
right?
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And as
all right, Steve-O,
I still stick around and take photos of every last person that wants one too. So I look forward to meeting everybody in Irvine this weekend.
Well, you have always been great to your fans. Improv.com, Irvine Improv, five shows this weekend. So Wednesday is your court date, and I guess we'll see it in the news. We'll find out what happens to you, man. But I hope they go easy on you. I hope they don't.
Right. I imagine that that we will find out in the news. And, you know, like, again, it's serious stuff, you know. And if they do really give me, like, a lot of stuff, like, you know, hey, I deserve it. So.
No justice, no peace. Thanks, Tivo. Have fun this weekend.
Hey, thank you, man.
You're listening to World Famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Hey, quick reminder, till 1 o'clock today, you can watch the Red Bull Sound Space performance at krock.com of Def Cab for Cutie. They came by yesterday. They were very good, as they always are, and you can see it for free until 1 o'clock today on krock.com. Actress Kristen Schaal joins us just after 9. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I got plans for you tomorrow. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to get in your car, and you're going to drive in the direction of, like, the Pasadena area, like Arcadia. I was going to say east, because it's east of us now, but you may be west. You may be west of that, or east of that, or south or north.
That's a great
point. So I can't
tell
you what direction to go to.
Yes.
Just point your car towards Arcadia.
Okay.
All right.
And then get your butt to the K-Rock Microbrew Festival.
Yay!
It's happening in the infield at Santa Anita Racetrack. It's going to be a blast, as it always is. Beer garden, of course, in the infield. Food. Concert. And then there's the ponies. Then there's the racing, the actual racing itself. First race starts at noon. The infield opens up at 11 a.m. It's going to be a blast. Stryker's going to be there. Omar, Dave the King of Mexico, Lightning, Super Steve, Chip will all be there, drunk off their asses.
Yeah.
Gambling just stupidly on long shots, just hoping to cash in on those 12-1 odds. If you'd like to go, I've got a 4-pack of VIP tickets right now for one lucky winner. This includes beer garden and concert admission, 8 drink tickets, a racing program, and tip sheet so you can gamble wisely. The Breeders' Cup World Championship tote bag all can be yours if you call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. Let's say caller number 11, since the infield opens up at 11 a.m. tomorrow. Caller number 11 will win that 4-pack of VIP tickets for the K-Rock Microbrew Festival. Always a good time. Well, if we had known this, we could have saved ourselves a lot of trouble. You know, all those years we're desperate to get another Ghostbusters movie up and running? We wanted Ghostbusters 3. We wanted the cast to get back together again and make another Ghostbusters. Well, all we had to do was turn the Ghostbusters into women, because everyone is going to be in this rebooted Ghostbusters film. Bill Murray famously has filmed a scene. Dan Aykroyd's in it. We heard Ernie Hudson stopped by for a little work, and now, just announced, Sigourney
Weaver.
The ghost
of Harold Ramis?
Harold Ramis is not going to be there, but Sigourney Weaver joins the Ghostbusters reboot. Yep. It's unclear whether she will be reprising her role as Dana Barrett or not, but Paul Feig tweeted today, "Gang, trying to keep surprises, but this is about to leak, so I'll tell you myself. The awesome Sigourney Weaver is going to be in our movie." So there you go. Everybody's in it. Why couldn't they have done this before?
Because I don't think they wanted to be in it. But now they're like, hey, this sounds pretty fun.
He wanted to be in it. Bill Murray didn't want to be in it. No. He's in this one.
Yeah.
I think Ernie Hudson would have been in it. I think this would be in it. So Sigourney Weaver would also be in it.
All right.
So now we got that.
All right.
Reboot. Speaking of reboots.
Yeah.
You ready for yet another shot at redemption for the A-Team?
No.
Yeah. Deadline.com is reporting that 20th Century Fox is in early talks to bring back the show to television. We had the film version with Liam Neeson, of course, as legendary Hannibal Lecter.
No.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Nope. Hannibal Smith, Hannibal Jones, Hannibal something. This ringing a bell.
Yeah.
Come on, George Peppard.
Sure.
Yeah, it was something.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had Bradley Cooper's face.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you had Charlton Copley as Mad Dog.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying now they're going to make it a TV show again, not another movie.
Yes, not another movie, a series. Okay. But with a contemporary feel, they say.
No van.
Now it would be probably a hybrid SUV,
ugh,
I'm guessing.
Oh.
And, wait for it, female members on the team.
Well,
see what they
sure
did here? See,
sure,
this is the future, people. Take everything and put women in it. Makes it magical.
Apparently so.
Yeah. I want to see a female. I want to see a Mrs. T. That'd be great. Big black lady with a mohawk.
Mm-hmm. What you talk about, sucker?
Come on. Taraji P. Henson is Mrs. T.
She can do anything.
Be great.
I had enough of your jibber-jabber. My prediction? Pain. Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets me, man.
Hannibal Smith, by the way.
Hannibal Smith. Sure. There you go. I knew it was Hannibal something. Get no help from you people. None whatsoever. What is Britney Spears doing? Well, she's living in Vegas. She is officially part of the Vegas community. Of course, she has got her Planet Hollywood residency, where she's doing her show, Piece of Me, nightly. And now, you can play her slots.
Oh.
That's right. The Britney Spears slot machine is now on the casino floor at the Planet Hollywood Casino, where she does her show. How great! You can finally play the Britney Spears slots.
I wonder what...
The loosest slots in Vegas, I've heard.
I don't that's what think I've so. Heard. Nope. I don't believe that's true.
I do believe it's true. Yes.
Yeah.
And Avicii's got a new album out the next Friday. Hey, Avicii, why are you waiting so long for a new
Italian.
Album?
Not even
hey, at all. Avicii, telling you, Ralph.
Hey, it's a nice album. What's the matter with you?
He's from got Sweden.
You know respect? The global superstar DJ has worked with Chris Martin of Coldplay on this album, Zac Brown, Wyclef Jean, and other singers on Stories, which will feature 14 new tracks. It took Avicii 2 years to finish the album. He said, I think there's more layers to these songs than ever before. Every song it has written on acoustic guitar, so the structures are different. And I got a nice antipasto for you, Avicii, he says.
He's Swedish.
You don't know.
He's Swedish.
I mean, like
we do know that.
You don't know.
Verified source.
Not possible.
Yeah.
Not yeah. From Sweden. The name like Avicii.
He's not Italian. It's not even his name.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Donald Glover's 32 years old today. Rapper T.I. is 35. Catherine Zeta-Jones celebrates her 46th birthday. Will Smith.
Where's she been, by the way, Ralph? Catherine Zeta-Jones.
She
the last time you saw her
was
in a thing.
Just in a film that featured her as a woman who was involved in a situation...
It's
come on,
right
Alan McKay.
Side
it's
effects?
Right on the tip of your tongue.
The movie Side Effects. That was
where she was involved in some side effects.
She was side effecting all over the place,
she
wasn't she?
She was affecting front, back, and
yes.
to the side, if I remember
yes.
that
I'm just
film
saying
correctly.
She used to be in a lot of things a lot of the time, and now we don't see her much.
Red 2! No. Red 2!
Katya in Red 2.
It was Katya
oh,
in Red
she was
two.
In Red
yeah.
2.
Okay.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, on a serious note, was suffering with some issues regarding her bipolar syndrome, I think.
Oh.
I don't know if it's a syndrome or a thing, but she had some bipolar issues that she worked on and got medicated and got some treatment, and now apparently she's doing great. So,
good.
There you go. Will Smith is 47. Heather Locklear is 54. Michael Madsen, very talented actor, is 58. Michael Douglas, Catherine Zeta-Jones's husband, 71 years old. Barbara Walters, the journalist, of course, 86. And Mark Hamill, not only is he a legend amongst we geeks as Luke Skywalker, of course, famously, but also perhaps maybe the greatest actor ever to portray the role of the Joker, even though it was just with his voice. Here's a little Mark Hamill as the Joker.
Friends, do you suffer from that queasy, drop-in cabin pressure air sick feeling? Well, you should, because of my handy-dandy radar disruptor. It's guaranteed to scramble all radar signals in the greater Gotham area.
Awesome performance. He's 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me tell you who's got a big Sunday night. Let me tell you about someone who's on Bob's Burgers and on Last Man on Earth, both returning for new seasons this Sunday night on Fox, Kristen Schaal, who joins us in studio on the television.
Yay! Hey, oh, my gosh. The thunderous applause. Thank you so much.
It's almost too much.
Yeah, that it's was. A lot.
That was weak, man. Well, I wasn't the only one applauding. You were.
No, I did.
So no, I got three. I got six hands hitting other hands.
Okay. All right. Well, how you been, Kristen? We haven't seen you in a while. What have you been up to?
It's been a long time. Yeah. I've been making television shows for you to
yes.
enjoy.
You have been doing that. Kristen, I did not realize last time you were in, her middle name is Joy.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Allie?
It makes sense.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful gift yeah. from your parents to give you that middle name of Joy.
Yeah, it was a good guess on their part because you know, I could have come out different.
I wonder sometimes you do read stories from time to time about how names have an influence on people on the way they perceive themselves and certainly how they're perceived by others. But is that something you ever given much thought to, or is it something you don't think about your middle name so it has had no impact on your life at all?
Well, yeah, you kind of forget about your middle name, don't you? I forget it all the time, and I don't really identify with my first name, Kristen. Like, I've never
You don't feel
like
a Kristen?
Kristen. Huh. No. And when people say it, I'm always like, oh, right, that's me. Like, I...
Still.
I feel like I should have had a, like, I should have been called, like, Ruby or, you know.
You seem like a candy.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Just kidding.
Okay, thank
Sorry.
You. No, that's okay. Maybe the worst.
So it's yummy and it's I so, everyone I mean, loves candy.
Nobody wants to be named candy.
Okay.
That's strippers only. I'm sorry, Allie.
I'm sorry. That was a knee jerk reaction. But
Ruby's good too.
We don't know each other, so it's okay. sorry to all the candies out there, but I think you understand.
Did you grow up in a creative environment, as I'm guessing you must have?
It was all right. I grew up on a farm in Colorado, and this leaves it open to lots of creative imaginings because there's not much to do. So I would talk to the cows all the time and just take long walks and pretend like sea monsters were coming out under the field to attack me. I don't know how they got to dry land.
Yeah, they are pretty far in from the ocean, that's for sure, in Colorado.
Yeah.
When you say living out on a farm, do you mean like a farm with lots of acreage where you didn't see a lot of other kids? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, there weren't any kids nearby, and it was pretty big. We did have neighbors, though. Like, I could walk to neighbors' houses, but the back lot of our place is a big field. And we used to have some cows. Not anymore, but we used to.
Well, they don't live forever, Kristen.
I know, because you eat them. You just keep eating them.
Did you feel from the time you were a little girl that you were going to be in the entertainment industry?
I guess so. I mean, I sort of went back and forth between wanting to be a Price is Right model and wanting to be an epidemiologist.
Very similar.
Yeah, yeah. Those were the two. I wanted to find the cure for AIDS or I wanted to run my manicured hands along items. And
give away a showcase.
Yeah. And just there's something about the way they caressed all the merchandise that I was like, that's a good life.
All right. Now that you're an adult, though, and you're not a foolish child, would you rather have cured AIDS or given away a new car?
Cured AIDS for sure. Part of me is sickened by the thought that maybe because I want to be known for the woman who cured AIDS. It's just a gross ego thing. But yeah, math was kind of a hurdle for me, so I didn't get into that.
I think there are a lot of people who think it would be cool to do things in science, like they want to be an astronaut, but then they realize how much math that there is, and that just dashes your dreams. Some of those professions are way harder to get into than we think they are.
I think. It's true, and something that saddens me is the amount of people who are really good at math and science are deciding to go to Wall Street instead of studying science and becoming like a member of NASA or whatever. It's like, it's just too bad because they're sort of, they're drawn to the greed as opposed to, you know, making the world a better place.
So if you've got those math skills, you go, hey, why not go and make $1 million this weekend?
Yeah, and I get it because they're smart.
Hard to argue with that. Yeah, but because they're smart, exactly.
But at the same time, it's just so disheartening. I wish that, you know, there was a time where it was more, more romantic to go into the sciences after college than it was to go on to Wall Street.
And now we arrest you if you bring a clock to school. What's going on, Kristen?
What's going
on?
That clock. Oh, my God. He was just trying to impress his teacher. The teacher, has anyone talked to her? Does she feel like a real chump or what?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. The school seems to be, you know, they seem to say, look, we got policies. We make that. We do what we got to do to keep everybody safe. Kristen, was there ever – this is the voice of Kristen Schaal here on The Kevin DeBean Show, Last Man on Earth and Bob's Burgers, returning this Sunday on Fox. We'll talk about both those shows in a minute. Was there ever a time in your career where it wasn't going well? Because you seem like somebody who has been consistently working multiple jobs per year as long as you've been in Hollywood. Am I wrong?
No, you're definitely wrong. There's a huge swath of time when I didn't really get my first job until I was around like 28 when I did Flight of the Conchords. I had a little bit on Kate and Leopold, the movie here and there, but the first big break was at the age of 28. And up until then it was me just sort of, I would have like a, a 40 of beer for lunch and then a slice of pizza for dinner because I just did not have any money.
Living the dream.
It was sad.
Allie plans on having that today.
That sounds like success.
So Flight of the Conchords is what kind of put you on everybody's radar, and since then it's been fine.
Since then it's been pretty steady.
Can you eat in a restaurant now?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going that well for you. Could you stay in a hotel if you needed to?
I could stay in a hotel, and I will.
Wow.
Yes.
This showbiz thing is happening for you, Krista.
No, it's true. I would even, going back to that restaurant, I would order a drink and a dessert with my meal. Crazy.
Well, see, that's how you know you've made it. What's your favorite show that you've ever been on?
It's kind of a toss-up. I would say it's a tie. Although I did enjoy being on 30 Rock as well, but I really loved being on Flight of the Conchords because it was just such a special show, and just being around Kiwis. If you ever get a chance, I recommend it because they are good people. And then now doing Last Man on Earth has become sort of the new favorite because playing sort of Carol, who's the leading lady to Will Forte's Phil, is the first time I've really gotten to sort of, get into it, and be working all day long and be in every scene and just like feel super tired at the end of the day, but a satisfying exhaustion because I've been doing something so cool.
That's nice.
I feel like Carol is very similar to you, Kristen, in real life.
Well, you'd be wrong again. She's
I do not have a bead on our guest.
Well, I thought she should be named Candy, so we are not doing well today.
No, I need to come on the show more.
I guess that's what it is. I guess we just don't know.
No, I am a little similar. You're right. There are some similarities for sure. Like, I do enjoy the way she dresses.
And you guys look so much alike, too.
No, we do look alike. And we do have a really optimistic view on the world, for sure. But I would say that I am a little more easygoing than Carol, and I don't.
Yes, she's sort of uptight. She's sort of uptight.
Yeah.
Last Man on Earth returns for season 2. Its premiere is this Sunday night at 9:30 on Fox. And if I remember correctly, at the end of last season, you guys were banished from Tucson, right? You hit the road.
Yeah, Phil really beat it.
We're seeing America.
Yeah, Phil and Carol are out trying to figure out where to have a home in the whole world. So they end up in the White House when we watch on Sunday. Because
obviously.
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't you? Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk more Last Man on Earth, Bob's Burgers, and so much more with our guest. Kristen Schaal is here. We'll return in a moment after this on K-Rock. Actress Kristen Schaal in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, returning as part of the cast of The Last Man on Earth this Sunday night at 9:30 on Fox. Great show created by our friend Will Forte. By the way, did I just hear you say the words dildo factories in the tail end of that song, Kristen?
Yeah, Allie brought up that I mentioned on Conan last night that our studio where we shoot Last Man on Earth is up in Chatsworth, and it's sandwiched between two dildo factories.
I had no idea they were still manufacturing in America. That's great news.
Isn't it? I know.
How about everything came from China?
Not dildos from Pipe Dreams.
USA! Exactly.
All right.
USA! All right, let's let's take care of some business. Let's talk about Last Man on Earth, which was, it seems to me, it was a big hit last year. It seems to me it came out of the gate popular. People liked it. People didn't know what to expect. It was a very different concept for a sitcom, something we, you don't get to say this very often, but it was an idea we had not seen before.
True. Yeah, it was a very unique show. It takes place in a post-apocalyptic world, and there's only a handful of people left alive, and I think Forte and Phil Lord and Chris Miller, the other producers, creators, wanted to explore what would it be like if just an average person was left as the last person on Earth instead of what we always get a taste of is someone who has a bit of a hero in them is the only one left standing. Well, what if just the chump is the only one alive? And that's sort of where the seed of a lot of the comedy and getting to explore it more is so exciting because now we get to see, well, what happens when average people that you work with, people that you see every day, actually have to build a society from scratch. So that's the show.
How many people do you reckon are alive on Earth after whatever it is that happened?
Seven
total.
Well,
that's
no,
it.
No, eight.
So we don't think there are pockets of other people around the world that we don't know about.
Not that I know about. I'm just, you know, again, I just play Carol Pilbasian. So that's all Carol knows.
I do love that in order to repopulate with Phil, you had to get married first.
Yes.
You were not going to not be married if you were going to have sex and have a child.
That's true. She really wanted to start the sort of mythology of the new world right. You know, she wanted to create the legend and she wanted everything in order. And I think, you know, to justify it too, because I know it was insane. I think she had always wanted to be married, and the show had a lot of wish fulfillment with Phil, you know, throwing bowling balls into fish tanks and, you know, throwing cars down bridges. And Carol also had a fantasy of being married, which didn't seem to come to fruition in the old world. So she made it happen.
I know it's a comedy and you guys are doing wacky stuff, but I do wonder sometimes how quickly people would just throw all the rules out the window if they could. And it seems like Phil was very happy to embrace just being the, you know, the king of the world, wasn't
he? Yeah. Yeah.
There's no reason to stay in your lane if you're the only guy on the road.
Right. And then you get a handful more people in there and you really do have a society. And what's exciting about this season is they do explore, like, well, what is punishment? You know, what is a crime now? And how do you deal with it in this Lord of the Flies type situation? But in a funny way.
In a funny way, yeah.
Yeah, in a hilarious way.
Louis writes in, and I think I know the answer that it's you're doing a comedy, but his question is, where are all the dead bodies on Last Man on Earth? What happened to all the people, and where are they now?
Yeah, that's a common question. People really want to see the dead bodies, which I am surprised about.
It does kind of take you out of the comedy, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think, and that was the note from the network, because in the original pilot that Forte wrote there, you see him moving into his McMansion and clearing out a body. And the network thought that that was a bummer for the comedy. Like, people didn't want to see dead bodies.
It kind of is.
Not Louis. Louis wants to know where everyone is.
And, you know, that's fair, you know, because I get it. Like, where, you know, it's where are all the people? So in our minds, they are around there. There's giant quarantines that everybody went to, and they're stacked up. They're all stacked up and disintegrating and just...
That's what The Walking Dead is for, Louis. Is go watch that show.
Yeah, I'm going to say they're all stacked up in Idaho. They're all in Idaho.
They're in Idaho, Louis.
So okay. They're all there just like stories high of dead bodies in Idaho.
Hey,
took a turn.
Last Man on Earth returns season 2 this Sunday night at 9:30 on Fox. Last question, then real quick, I want to hit on Bob's Burger, and that is Will Forte very deeply committed to this beard full time now, right?
Yes.
This is his look forever now.
Well, I don't know. He wants to do other things. You know, he's a very versatile, incredible actor. So I think he will probably shave it, but he likes it. He likes it. You can see he works so hard on the show. Forte is writing it, editing it, acting in it. He's sleeping on top of the dildo factory so he can be closer to work. He is.
That was a sentence that was just said.
The guy is. I'm just so in awe of him. And he. I think the beard is very calming to him. I notice when he's thinking, which is all the time, he doesn't realize this, but he's just like combing, just running his fingers through his chin mane, just like, and I think it relaxes him. So I don't know what he'll do when it's gone. Like, I don't know where his fingers will go.
Well, I like it. I think it gives him that founding father look that not very many people have anymore. I think it's excellent.
He pulls it off. He's, you know, he's a classically handsome dude, so he can sort of get away with anything. And if you can grow a beard that luxurious, you should do it.
Do it. You kind of have an obligation to, I think.
Yeah.
All right, Last Man on Earth is Sunday night, as is Bob's Burgers. How about a quick word about Season 6? That's premiering at 7:30, also on Fox. The series will celebrate its 100th episode this season. You're on a hit, Kristen.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. Wow, I forgot it was the 100th episode because we had a party when we read it, but that was a year ago because it takes a year to make it. But yeah, oh my gosh, Bob's Burgers is so exciting, and this episode is really funny. Oh, man, that show's really good. I'm so happy that that Fox keeps airing it, and I hope that it finds a bigger and bigger audience because, you know, when you let a show have more than one season, it really starts to find its voice and like get into all the characters, quirks, and things that writers didn't even realize till they lived with the characters a little bit longer. And right. This season is so banging. I'm so excited for Bob's Burgers. I'm so excited for Last Man. There's so many twists and turns. I'm excited to share this Sunday with you. I really am. I'm not down on my shows. I'm high on my shows.
America's first lady of show business, ladies and gentlemen. Kristen
yes.
Schaal, this
I
Sunday night, a double
dose.
We love you. Thanks so much for coming in on the Kevin Beach Show. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me, Bean. Bye, Allie. Bye, guys.
Hey, Rob Graham?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Ahead of your showbiz beat, give me 20 seconds here because we have one more giveaway for the kids. It's a pair of passes to the Nitro Circus live kickoff event at K1 Speed. That's happening September 30th. And also tickets to either the Staples Center November 6th or November 7th at Honda Center for the Nitro Circus live show. Travis Pastrana will be there, and now you can too. 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 if you're a Nitro Circus fan. Call now. All right. What's going on in showbiz, my friend?
Before I get to showbiz, I'm going to give a quick shout-out. It's probably too late now. He's probably not in class because he's been suspended. But I want to give a shout out to my new hero, Cody Pine. You may or may not know that name, but you may have seen the video that was taken at Huntington Beach High School where there was a bully punching a visually disabled student in the face repeatedly. And Cody Pine, who was on the football team there at Huntington Beach High, came up and just dropped this punk with one punch and then escorted the blind student to safety. And I just want to give him a shout-out and let Cody Pine, is his name once again, know that you punched that guy for everybody, Cody, and well done. Now, Cody has been suspended from school because there's a zero tolerance policy apparently at Huntington Beach for violence, and I get that. I understand ordinarily in most situations why that would be in place, but if you've seen the video, you know what this guy did. He was coming to the aid of a blind student who was being attacked by a school bully, and he stepped in and did something, and I think that's to be commended, not punished. Cody also has reportedly been kicked off the football team at Huntington Beach High, and there is a petition online calling for the school to reinstate Cody Pine to the football team. And I would ask you to go online and find that petition and put your name on it, because what this guy did to defend his classmate was absolutely justified. And I got to say, I'm proud of the kids. So there you go. That's
yeah,
my,
you get
my
why
two
the
cents.
School doesn't want kids to just decide when it's appropriate to hit someone.
Of course,
you know,
not.
You get that. But any adult who looks at this situation has to side with Cody.
Someone stepping into someone who is blind, who is being beaten. I mean, come on, you can't have a more clear-cut case of justifiable violence than that.
Absolutely.
And, by the way, the bully, whose name has still not been released, has been arrested this morning on suspicion of misdemeanor battery because the mother of a female student at Huntington Beach High School said that her girl was bullied by this guy all of last year, and it has deeply affected her. The mom says, Huntington did nothing about it. It made my daughter lose faith in people and the school system. And she apparently has been changed for the worse because of the experience she went through last year. And she, for one, also is thankful for Cody stepping up and defending someone against this guy. So, many layers to this story. But I got to say, well done, Cody. All right, let's talk about show business. Sad news while we're keeping things local. For those of us here in the Southland, tragic news, if you will. This is hard to say. You know, sometimes you have to break the bad stories along with the funny ones when you do a thing like this. And, well, I guess I'll let Bob Eubanks say it himself, because apparently Bob Eubanks and Stephanie Edwards announced just this morning that this will be their last time hosting the Rose Parade telecast for KTLA 5. Bob, why don't you tell us about it?
Steph and I have decided that this is going to be our last year on the Rose Parade. We want to leave under our terms. We want to leave when we're on top, and we certainly are. And it's just time. This will be my 38th year. Steph decided to sit in the grandstands for a couple of years, but it's just time.
It's just time. Bob said about his 38th Rose Parade. This will be their final one on the 1st of January, of course, New Year's Day, when the Rose Parade will be covered by KTLA. And Bob is right. They are going out on top. Last year, they said well over 7 people watched the telecast. And so I wish them well. And I'm going to call
Ralph,
those 7 people, and I'm going to see if they're okay, because I'm sure everyone will be missing.
A lot of people cover that parade, but Channel 5 gets all the viewers.
Right. I know.
Am I right, Allie?
No.
What? That was my understanding, is that they're the most popular of the people
will,
who cover
they
it.
They will tell you that.
But
they
is
will.
It not true? Am I believing the hype?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think you may be right, being up all the stations nationwide that do cover the Rose Parade. KTLA probably does get the majority of the viewers. And once again, that last year was 7. So
okay.
Well
Allie,
done.
Did you ever get roped into any other Rose Parade coverage in the years
no.
that you were on that channel?
They never asked you to cover the seed placement?
Pre-stuff.
Would you
absolutely.
Get on there as they were building the floats and say,
absolutely.
Look at these peonies.
Exactly. Exactly.
They so form an H.
Every single year.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, the Rose Parade, I know it's a tradition. I don't mean to poo-poo. So there.
That's it?
That's all I got. Look, good for the roses and the parades and Pasadena and tradition and all those things. Good. Good for all those things.
Nope.
I just think Bob may be getting out at the right time. That's all. Can you imagine 38 years of, and now here goes, oh, look at the mums. This thing's covered with mums, Stephanie. What do you think? Are those mums? Yes, they are, Bob. Those. Oh, and look, I think there may be a tulip. I do. I think I see a tulip also, Stephanie.
But, Ralph, it's once a year. It's not like he has to get up every day and face the flowers. He does it one day a year. Just a job.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's not fine, Bean.
It's fine
for you, Gramps, because that's the kind of television you enjoy. You want to watch... You want to periscope water off a ferry for an hour, and you want to see a bunch of flowers on wheels drive by. But the rest of us have lives, Bean. We got things to do, okay? Oh, you're going to be the hippest 100-year-old, that's for sure.
That's right, man.
Let's watch the flowers, shall we, kids? Put down your PS1. Let's go look at the flowers on wheels.
Come on, hurry up, Rob. I got to go beat up a blind kid.
Oh, you're a bastard. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Donald Glover's 32 years old today. Rapper T.I. turns 35. Catherine Zeta-Jones, 46. Will Smith, proud son of Philadelphia. Woo! Now that's a parade.
Philadelphia born and raised, I think.
Yeah, he was.
That's what I've heard.
That's a parade on New Year's Day in Philadelphia, baby. You get drunks out there with banjos and the Mummers
what are they
Day.
The Mummers.
The Mummers
yes.
Parade. Yeah. Bunch of drunk Irishmen and Italian guys and banjos and glockenspiels and feather costumes just staggering down Broad Street. It's awesome. Heather Locklear is 54 years old today. Michael Madsen's 58. Michael Douglas, 71 years old today. Bean and I were just talking off air, believe it or not. We eat separately and coincidentally caught a film recently called Last Vegas.
Yeah.
About Michael and his older buddies getting together for a bachelor party. And we found it wildly entertaining.
I thought it was going to be awful.
I did too, and I was so surprised.
Huh. Very pleasant.
I think it was one of those situations where I was on a plane or something. I can't remember, but it was one of those things where I was not forced into watching it, but
you
it
were
was
captivated.
I had limited choices. Mm-hmm. And I said, "All right, well, I'll watch this." Boom! Enjoyed myself.
Got a lot of good people in it. Sure.
Barbara Walters, 86 years old, and Mark Hamill, not only Luke Skywalker but the Joker, of course, from Batman the Animated Series and other projects. He's got to do it one last time, apparently. Another animated film coming up where he will play the Joker. 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. We got a great week of Kevin and Bean shows for you on deck starting Monday morning. First of all, it's Return of the Monkey. Our friend Kevin will be back, so that'll be great. Fluffy's going to be on the show next week. The band Garbage is stopping by, Ralph.
Ralph.
Your girlfriend Shirley Manson.
Oh, I love her so much. I want to take her into the heather and feed her haggis.
Travis Pastrana is going to be on the program. Oscar winner Marshae Harden next week on the show. And Monday, Daniel Cormier from the UFC, talking UFC 192, is going to be here, and Andrew Siciliano. Plus, we're going to talk about this video that's out there. Have you seen this one, Ralph, of this guy who hitchhiked all over Southern California? Apparently, hitchhiking is
a
thing.
No one does that
talk
anymore.
About it Monday.
Don't bogart that joint. my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, God, you wouldn't belong getting frostbutt.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Is it cookie?
Roll another one.
Ariana Grande?
Just like the other one.
Why?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Are you ready to get sexy?
And I need another hit.
Hey, everybody, it's Three Quarters Christmas today. It's Three Quarters Christmas. What? What do you mean you don't care? Oh, it's not a thing. You mean...
Roll another one.
How could you explain that?
Just like the other one.
I'm completely stunned by this information.
Seems to be about sense.
Sit down.
I don't have another cent.
The pink fruit note.
Those are my breasts.
Just pass it around.
Oh, my goodness.
You too. I don't want to let you join my friend.
I am hard.
Just pass it on down.
Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your stories. Thank you for your inspiration. Thank you for letting us be part of the change. God bless you.
Officers, if you have anything against me, then book me. Otherwise, as they say, get the hell out of my face.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Dun, 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 dun.
Quite an amazing event, but I'd be back after these words.